With Mark and Malia online, he should be sleeping now for the most part, but we have the agenda shared, and I think we can start with taking role for today. What? Oh, my name's Lauren from Michael Baker. I'm going to submit in for Karin, like, today. Mm-hmm. And then we also have Maria Walters and Mark Lucan online, Michael Baker as well. But, yeah, so.
Lauren, we'll call from Baker. Hey.
Jen, this is Mark.
Okay.
So, Lauren, if you wouldn't mind scrolling the agenda up, I heard you guys talking a little bit about kind of what you're thinking of doing. And certainly you really own the agenda, but what I had at least initially drafted here was to look at potentially look at the individual action sheets that were turned in Friday, and then what Aaron turned in this morning, and just review what's been written and see if there's any glaring concern, I guess, about what's on the page. If it if there's a disagreement, then you guys could hash through that. Malia Walters is on, and she's going to kind of track changes on the fly, in live. But and then there was just one final thing, and that is the there's some strategy executive summaries that I've also created for you that really do kind of summarize these actions in a strategy document that will actually be part of the task force report that we are going to draft for you and be ready, have the first draft ready by next Tuesday. So anyway, I just wanted to kind of give you a sense of who you have here available to help you, support you today, and then, let you kind of take it from there as to what you would like to do.
Okay, thanks. And then, I guess, Mark, one last thing to clarify. As far as the final report goes, are we only using the rolled up executive summaries, or will these individual action write-ups, will they also be, I guess we're trying to figure out, where do they spend time editing versus maybe if the actions were just kind of getting the concepts down and we don't need to worry about editing too much. I guess what's going to be used in the final report?
So, I'm going to share my screen now because I just want to remind everyone, I guess, what this report's going to look like. And so let me share my screen real quick just to remind. So this is a layout Michael Baker has used on another report in the past, but under this energy priorities, it'll really be broken up by task force, right? So we've got the subcommittee. So the data subcommittee, the statutes and regulations, the rail belt, rural, coastal, and then the trying to remember the other one. Incentives, right? So that's kind of the chapters, and then within each chapter, we'll have a strategy document with the actions listed that you've identified under each strategy, and then a bit of a summary of that particular strategy. And so, at least from what I listening to Michael, that's what we're really focusing on this week. However, all of these great papers that you've written on these individual actions that will be listed here will also be included in the report in a in another section, basically an appendix that lists out all of the actions that that you guys have fleshed out, and both the rail, coastal, have really got the bulk of that done. Their rural has identified two that they want to prioritize, but that's really kind of where we're headed from a formatting perspective on the report. So to answer your question, yeah, I think you would like to review the individual action sheets just to, again, look for any glaring things that, you know, there might be disagreement on. But beyond that, then I think trying to flesh out your strategy, summaries, executive summaries, maybe where a good use of your time might be for today.
Okay, thanks a lot for that, Mark. Erin?
Thank you, Mark. I was looking at that last slide you just put up. Maybe I'm getting into the weeds here, but is there a difference between strategies and actions that we need to keep in mind as we work on this? Like, these are all action sheets, right? So do we have
different
strategy, or do we have multiple strategies?
So you have your transmission strategy, your storage strategy, the generation strategy, demand strategy, right? So that's the big picture strategies, and underneath each of those strategies are a list of actions that you would have recommended.
That's what I thought. I also noticed that these various action sheets didn't all have strategies associated with them.
And
in the week.
Erin, I think these, I don't remember if you have these lines, something like that, these will roll up into like 4 or 5 strategy levels, and it sounds like these will be an appendix in the report that has a little more detail with each action.
And the top lines are the actions.
Yeah, and then the video that Marsh shared, that those are the executive summaries that he's talking about.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Yeah, and so then I think, you know, we had nominally decided our rough outline or topics for the strategies, but I think when we go through the actions today, we can see what makes the most sense on how to roll them up.
Okay.
As part of strategy area.
Okay.
And I'm actually taking the liberty, I'll just tell you, I'm taking the liberty based on the action sheets I got back to craft a couple of example strategy sheets that, you know, just take from those action item sheets and try to summarize what I read in the strategy sheets. So
well, let's do roll call, and then we'll jump into, we'll just double check if the group wants to just start going through the action sheets, and maybe we just kind of load those in our brain, and then we head into the executive summary part of the discussion. Okay, why don't we just go around the table here, and then we'll go through online. Lauren, you want to start with yourself?
Yep, Lauren from Michael Baker.
Curtis with AEA, and I need to slip downtown, make a presentation, and slip back.
You're not just like that for us.
Well, I got a name tag for you.
I'll be using
them. Jen Miller, which is in the YPG.
Johnson.
Aaron,
what
Mark Lucan from Michael Baker and Malia. You're still on mute.
Oh, I unmuted my camera, but not the mic. My name is Malia Walters with Michael Baker. I also wanted to let you know that I have copies of all of the action item sheets that you sent in, and I'm prepared to share my screen as needed. So that's another resource available to us today.
Great.
And then it looks like there's a there's a few other people online. I don't know if I can call them out or you all can. So it looks like all of Bryce.
Yeah, I'm just a fly on the wall here from Trista Corporation. Thank you.
Okay. And Sarah, guest, Sarah.
Hello, I'm with Alaska Venture Fund, and I'm just listening today.
Okay. Shane Kilcoin.
Hi, Shane Kilcoin, also with Alaska Venture Fund, also listening today. Thank you.
All right, and then Brian Carey. Brian. Okay. Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry about that, Brian. And then Andrew Jensen, also from the governor's office, is on today. Okay, Jen, go ahead. Yeah. Well, wherever you'd like to go.
just for the committee's awareness, I had the fortune of crossing paths with Carl this weekend, and it is his wedding anniversary today, so I strongly encourage him not to participate in this meeting. So I'm not sure if that's why he stayed out, but I'm hoping it is.
He did send me a note that it's his 41st anniversary, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So he isn't going to make it today, but he did send me a couple comments for a couple of papers, so I'm working hard.
That's your experience.
Yeah. All right, cool. Why don't we start, what do you guys think, start with the transition upgrade paper? All first this year? I can just do all first, can you do all of yours while you're here?
No, we can. I like that. One thing I just, the policy generation on the RAF and the PPF, I only had one comment, and it was just a quick one.
Which one is this?
Sorry, this was the augment the Renewable Energy Fund and the Power Project Fund. To facilitate customer reliance on it, might be that one right there.
Yeah, it's on the board.
The only thing I was going to ask is, let's just put a period at statewide electric generation period, because we say with an emphasis on rural generation, actually the REF program is an emphasis on rural Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm saying 80% of the funding goes to rural Alaska, just generally because they have the highest cost, it's one of that portfolio. So if we just end it at generation, mm-hmm. then we don't get into the rural versus.
Yep, that's a good idea.
Perfect. So that was my only comment on that one.
And do we, since we're augmenting it so that we can, because we are trying to use it for the rail though, do we need to change any of the, expand the intent of
the I think the background is good but I think the purpose action is going to be the one that's going to be in the format. It's going to be foremost in the report. And so we just don't want to lose that rule component of it.
Okay. That's good.
So I just want to double check that I'm making these edits correctly. You're saying period after this generation right here?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Okay.
Yep.
But are you asking, Jen, if it should be augmented to include more rail belt projects when it currently does?
I guess if they're encouraging to, there's a 80% funds or rules.
I think the averages are based on the price of energy, cost of energy. Rural Alaska is higher, so it tends to get more money into rural Alaska. Grab up about 20% of it. Mm-hmm. Tend to be larger amounts because of the size of the project. So.
Well, I wonder though if we are making this for the rail belt committee, if we need to make that specification.
So, if we're and I'm just anticipating how this would go if this were, for example, presented to the legislature. And it said with an emphasis on rail belt generation.
Yeah.
I would anticipate a strong mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I just leave that out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
Okay. Yep.
But then we're fixing the context and the background helps convey the intent.
Right. They talk about we got rule in there and
it's cool.
Yeah.
And Connor taught that as well. Because I think initially I kind of wrote it all about the rail belt, and
right.
Said, hey, the intent of that program is a statewide.
Right, yeah.
Okay. And Curtis, what, just for your schedule, when will you be here and when are you?
I'm supposed to be out on 1:15 and supposed to be done by like 1:35 and then I'll be back here.
Okay.
Which is amazing. We got 9 charging stations with $80 dollars. We're 1:66. It's been announced. And we have the Federal Highway Administrator here, so that's why the timing happened to be right now.
Okay.
He's in town, so this is the window he's available. So.
Okay. Well, since you're not going to be gone that long, why don't we finish going through this one?
Yeah.
And then we can switch over to the other one. It doesn't have to. I think the one question I had on this one, for the part, John, that you added on to incentivize diversification.
Yeah.
Which is like a long and purple. I wanted to check with Tony that it, you know, basically it's looking at as utilities get a certain percentage of diversification, then they get debt forgiveness. And I just wanted to check and see if that's a leveraging incentive.
So maybe I could start because this morphed from what I was originally conceptualizing. And the reason why I did that was I was looking up the legislation that was passed for the looking at Recovery Act and the tax credits, trying to find a way to incentivize legislature to promote something like this. And the benefit that that tax credit had, Sink's perspective, and I think from the legislator's perspective, was that it was very clear how it was going to reduce rates for customers. And so if you were to just, say, provide a tax credit to IPPs, there's not the direct correlation to reduction rates. So it kind of morphed into this, and I was thinking about, the discussions that we had about debt forgiveness and all those kinds of things. So I thought maybe this was more of a carrot approach than stick for, the discussion stuff. And I did reach out to all of you. High level, what are your thoughts? And obviously there's a lot that you worked out with, but
It is, because the utility, you can't necessarily pay $7 because they don't really use, especially with the grip that'll come through AEA. But also, there's no, trying to think about the other utilities. I don't think any of us on the rail belt of the mind that we need to own whatever it is. So it's like, do I hire 10 new people or do I outsource to a contractor if it's or a consultant? And he makes his decisions based on a variety of factors, and I'm really indifferent. It's a matter of achieving the mission. So I like it because I think it may help with independent power.
And the biggest thing that I was thinking of is, as we've seen and heard, the cost competitiveness of these projects is getting closer and closer, if not better than current. So the last piece that we need to make sure happens is that the utilities actually contract with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Right. And so this is, that's the thought. If they can continue to work down that path, and at certain points there's debt forgiveness for their existing facilities, which will help lower the cost even more so.
Perfect. Yeah, I like the incentives going to the utility. Mm-hmm. And then I just wasn't sure. I know when you talked about different utilities have different debt loads, and so the percentage of their base rate, the debt percentage, is different across the utilities. I just wasn't sure if there's
an even playing field.
Are there other buckets that the money can go for a lower rate? Or I wasn't sure.
Well, I don't know if it's uneven playing field. Some just have more debt than others, which, so in order for them to get there is a bit more challenging.
Yeah, right, wrong, or indifferent. Yeah. It's not about judging decisions. Mm-hmm. It's really how do you equitably facilitate benefits to the users.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the for-profit component in there in an effort to maybe drive investment. But this would have, I think, a similar positive effect. It would be in the South.
And I think it seems to me like, if this is going to be a written policy, figuring out, what percentage of diversification equates to what percentage of debt forgiveness, and you put stakeholder into the concept, but those numbers could be worked out as the policy is written.
Yeah, it'd be hard to say. Today, 10% in one place equals a certain amount, 10%.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be in favor of trying to pick a winner.
And you could put a cap to it. There's a lot of ways to skin that cat. We actually did spend some time and looked at other examples where they say, if you do X, it will allow the state to provide. And there are a couple of interesting examples out there that build off of. The tax credit for films was one that they had. Depending upon the local high high or diverse, you know, locations and stuff like that, for all those things that kind of build up the amount of diversity. So, but there, I think there's a lot of ways to do it. It's that's what makes you might think. I don't know if we want that.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you scroll down to, it'd be towards the end of the background section? There you go.
That might be too small now.
Perfect.
Okay.
The other thing that I liked about this conceptually is it doesn't have to, similar to, you know, the renewable energy fund, it doesn't have to be relevant specific. It can be applicable across the state. So
like
I think the more we can do that,
people
for you too.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, we're going to just zoom into just the main text of the capture the comments probably. So maybe we just say, portfolio, I mean, yeah, something like, for example, reaching a certain diversification now, leads to a certain amount of debt forgiveness or something.
Yeah.
It's not to have action numbers in there. I was kind of thinking you have to keep it kind of just the same as what the concept is, because we really don't know what the right numbers are.
Yeah,
that's like a concept. Okay, this is very specific, real well written. A plus.
Well, I just piggybacked off of the already good work that has been done. Right, yeah, it's really easy way to sit down. The other piece that we need to consider is, you know, this is really an incentive, so this is one that we send out the incentives and solicitation committee. There was a meeting scheduled this morning earlier, and
it was canceled. I understand.
Well, A10. This morning. Because there were a number of us that opted in, but.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could send it to them and just say, we're thinking about this. Do you want to incorporate it, or do you want us to? Or maybe it can be referenced in both.
Yes.
Mark, do you know if that one's getting rescheduled?
You know, I'm unsure. I think, I can't remember, but I think I sent a note to both Nils and Isaac to find out if they intended to reschedule. But I think both of them are pretty engaged this week. So I'm not sure what their plan is.
Yeah, Nils is at the conference and I'm going back to. So yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I'll reach out again.
I'm concerned with ICOS. They have a lot of actions.
They do.
And so I hate for ours to get blocked in there. But maybe we'll see.
Is this, do you qualify this, but this is an option in place of penalties with RPS? Is that what we're,
because
I know we talked about, and I went off of another subcommittee and the whole penalty issue that they came up last time we met. I don't think I was in the room, but if this is independent of that, okay. If it's meant to be a carrot instead of a stick, then I would recommend that we associate that too.
I quite heard some diversity on that.
Is my need to be linked to the RPS, or can it just be a standalone?
I guess it could be linked later to the RPS, rather than combined with the RPS now, could it be linked when we, you know, because if they go to a clean energy standard and do something different, then when linking it, and does it hamper us?
Based on my personal opinion on this, is so, yeah, our subcommittee was asked to, opine on the renewable portfolio standard, the clean energy standard. It could be nice to say what our...
Maybe we can put it there. It could be used in conjunction with. Could be used with, that way it's not a must, but it's...
Maybe it's a test of group. I guess my personal view is the clean energy standard gives us more options. And what we're saying is, like, we want all... I personally put all the options on the table, let them concede. And then our driver group would say, rather than penalties, which could distract utilities and drive prices up, we think incentives are a better way to go. And so to, yeah, personally, where my opinion is, clean energy standards with incentives as a question mark, yes, but I don't know where the group is in that, if we're aligned in that.
I support it.
Depends what's in the clean energy standards. And what the goals are. But I think, yes, having a wide range of eligible technologies is a good kind of strategy.
And maybe, you know, at this level, kind of like how we've done all of our stuff, even, you know, we said, you know, what are our high level goals? We had to kind of pull up to the point where, like, yes, at this high level, we're aligned.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it seems like from the comments I've heard from the group seems generally a lot more aligned to clean energy standards than an RPS. So we'd say, yes, you know, the details can be worked under there. And I've heard it say incentives versus penalties. And so I don't know, I guess,
or could we say, instead of, you know, trying to take a side, clean energy standard versus RPS, in favor of including the most, the widest range of non-fossil fuel technology possible. Because I think that is one of the big differences, right? Is, you know, one has nuclear and one doesn't. Put it in very simple terms. So maybe, could we just say that the group is in favor of something that allows for the most options?
Well, yes, I agree with that. I also agree with the statement that penalties should.
That's too. I'm sorry, I was trying to say wrong.
Yeah.
I was suggesting the CES versus RPS.
Yeah, so I'm on board with that.
Yeah.
Okay,
so lots of options and positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then these are our positive reinforcement ideas.
Yeah,
so I guess the question is, does it belong in here, or maybe it's part of the executive summary, you know, that they are, these aren't like, because these were our ideas of little penalties.
Generation, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So put it in that. And I think we say something as broad as what I just heard, to address that. Because it's not prescriptive, I certainly don't think any utility should be opposed to an aspirational goal, or if there are going to be targeted deadlines, that there be just the off ramps. And I think we got to that point in that last version, but it's come to a point where nobody was involved with it. It almost tells you that
your baby's ugly.
So, I guess proposal, I could take this and just update it to also have some front matter around clean energy standards versus RPS, and say that the group is discussed this, and we think it's, because we want to diversify and get there the most cost-effective way, we are open to more broader technology and are generally in favor of clean energy standards, and then say, talk about the negative side of penalties,
mm-hmm.
and that we think that incentivizing is the better way to go, and hence leading into these incentives.
Mm-hmm.
But I can update this and the group can review it.
And so are you saying that this would, which bucket, the strategy bucket, just goes under generation, or does it even go under a strategy bucket?
I think it's more broad.
Is it broad? Well, maybe we figure that out later.
I don't quite know how to puzzle them together.
Okay,
yet.
Yeah, neither do I.
Okay, I'll take that action.
Okay.
Does that work for
you? Yeah.
Okay.
You think
that? Yeah, that works. I'm gonna do my one instead. Okay, and then
I think not, because I noticed you have two cookies and I didn't get one.
I will tell you what happened. You may want cookies or cookies. The previous group we had lunch with on Friday brought cookies. This week that have lunch. So.
That's a hyper area. Yeah.
Well, no cookies.
No.
Sorry.
I'll get cookies.
That's not mine.
No, there's not.
Before you jump in, are there from the subcommittee, were there any other kind of macro concept type comment on this paper?
Do we need to talk about the PPS? Anything? We talked about the ARIA. And I noticed there were some real specific steps in terms of the power project funds.
The only thing I didn't know about the Power Project Fund is in the past that's been, you know, what I would call a C-Corp fund. For large, you know, so now we're saying let's use it for projects that are larger than 10 megawatts, and that 10 megawatts is in the statute. And so, you know, I don't actually, I mean, Curtis, I don't know how much you think we could, how big of a loan program the state would have an appetite for.
I sure don't want to guess on that. But the 10 megawatts was very old. I'm saying it was an old number,
mm-hmm.
and it seemed a lot at the time. But now, as we're moving forward, especially with IPPs, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to, the program isn't to take over and do utilities that need 100 megawatts or whatever. But what is that? What is that good threshold for that?
Mm-hmm.
And even rural Alaska sometimes bumps up against that.
What was this funded today?
It is, that's a good point. It's capitalized, and so it's self-sustaining. However, it's been very successful, so we're going back to the legislature to recapitalize it this year.
Okay, so as, you know.
But it's a self-sustaining fund.
So as we start reaching deeper into the jar, you know, I think an important piece we're going to have to consider and maybe recommendation, maybe we take the recommendation is how this, other types of actions upon because there are so many asks
right.
throughout this task force. That's going to be the question. Okay, that sounds great, but I would love
that. And this fund in particular, if it's zero to $2 million, it goes to loan committee, so it's internal. 2 to 5, it goes to the board of directors. Anything after 5 is approved by the legislature. So the and then the legislature sets their own terms sometimes, and like Halundai down out of Prince of Wales Island, Center's Business District, they gave them a loan, but the first 7 years, no interest. And so the program actually is losing close to $6 million by not having interest on it. So another 2.5 years, we can start earning, and I'll start getting interest collected on it. So the legislature, if it gets over the 5, they kind of do their own thing. But they've also been supportive of recapitalizing the program, too, so.
It does seem for, if it were, like, rail belt ITP projects, and I think generally you have to make a case if you want a lower than current interest rate. But for those, they should be, they shouldn't really have, like, a preferred terms.
Right, you know what? The legislature gave them preferred terms. All the other loans are at market. We follow a 52-month trailing average. But since we have a little flexibility, what we will do is once you finish your application, you lock in a rate. Now, if that rate lowers, not lately, but if that rate was to lower, then we would give you the new rate when you were to close. But we try to lock in on rate. And I don't know that. But we've had some that, you know, like I said, they lock in at 3 and locked at 3.5, and then when the rates were going down, we went to 3, so we gave them 3%. So we're a little bit flexible in that regard.
Well, as a note, there also is the DOE loan program office. Did you say you tried to apply to them for any of your projects?
Should we look at USDA?
Okay.
One of the things, and they might have changed it, but sometimes the threshold was too small. Some of these loans are like for $100,000.
Right, which is why the PDF is a great vehicle. But
yeah.
As you start to get into those bigger projects, there's other vehicles that should be acknowledged.
Because we have communities that might need it for an upgrade or something, and literally it's $50,000, $100,000. We've only had 2 actually go to our board in the last year, most of them under $2 million.
But for a big rail belt project, you know,
yeah.
You might have something that
exactly.
Okay.
I'm going to just flip out.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis.
And we also have, I think we have Brian on.
Okay, great. All right, we can get that.
And Brian has seen all these.
Perfect.
He might have had Dennis too. He didn't see before I submitted them.
Well, I think there's a transmission one that I probably would like to hold, so you're back.
Okay.
I'm thinking there's a... You might merge a couple of things.
Okay.
Right.
I'll check you back
to. We need to go over this last point about
timeline.
There's a state incentive that allows the state of Alaska. I think it's the explication of the background point. I don't know if that needs to be fleshed out anywhere in the actual step. It's a comment in my copy. I mean, it has TBD underneath it. Huh? Oh, she's looking at you.
That's under the section. Can you scroll up a little bit? Oh, how we get the roadmap. Yeah, no, that's the, as a committee, we need to fill in the blanks. Just, you know, I think it's probably up to the legislature, unless we want to give them some.
Would we say, like, establish a new fund, or is that too specific? Or I guess it's debt forgiveness.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
So that's, you know, maybe that's.
Do you think develop a policy?
Yeah.
Set this mechanism up or something like that?
I think the most important thing we need is where are the guardrails. So, what do we think makes the most sense? Is it a, you know, up to a certain amount, so it's just a contribution? Is it once they get to a certain percentage of renewable? I mean, all those things up for discussion. So that's why I didn't put a ton of effort into that, because there's still a lot there, and I need to see that. So.
I like if they were to, like, once that generation, it has to be online and producing, but once they achieve a certain percentage, then they get a certain dollar amount, because then it doesn't matter what your debt load percentage is, you're just getting a certain amount of billions for every percentage.
Is that more attractive than having debt?
That you would be given debt forgiveness for a certain amount
of money. No, I think that does make sense, actually.
So is it debt forgiveness of the utility or the IPP?
I was actually thinking that could be something to clarify in that statement. Forgive a percentage of utility debt for its existing power generation.
Yeah, the issue is, and utilities are structured differently. In the Yates case, we're 100% CSC borrower. So they have, it's a mortgage. It's what it is. And so the business, their business model is not like your traditional commercial lending or what you would do for your house and your car, in that there is no prepayment option. The business model is that they're counting on this return of the principal plus interest over this period of time. So let's say that it was a legislator of many I've heard say, we should just pay down the utilities debts. And then just pull on that thread. It's not as simple as tell you how much it is, and then it gets passed by, let's say, if you sign the law and you write the check. That's not how simple. And then I turn it back over to the lender. I just have to go out and negotiate with my lender to find, by mutual agreement, some instrument by which they would end up whole. So it could be like treasury bonds or some other thing that money would go to purchase, and then it would be in their name so that they continue to get that monthly payment every, over 30 years.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest challenge that I see and why I was trying to provide debt forgiveness, because if you still got assets on the book that are depreciated, until that asset is fully depreciated, you've still got that cost of the actual recovery rates. So any additional, sort of infrastructure piece that comes on, you just increase it by that amount. So there's less of an incentive, I think, until the assets are fully depreciated, and there's less of a reduction in cost of COCA that make it work. So that's why I was trying to depreciate those assets as soon as possible, so there's more of an incentive for them to make more investments on the education side.
You say that simply somehow?
Well, that's not what I did.
We have to, refinance the loan, and that would be a negotiation. Like, to pay down the loan early.
Well, they would need an additional, the lender would need additional assets.
So what would be useful here, utility? Like, what could be working?
Well, I'm thinking through the components, like accelerated depreciation. If it were new debt, or if it was coming through the state, and, you know, for a project, that's why I had this little epiphany, and I asked, is this for an independent power producer? Yes, you could do that on a project-specific basis. For me and, say, the Clinton Generation Station, that would be a negotiation that has to be mutually agreed to. It's not something I can just pull. I don't have a provision. It's actually prohibited. And I think that most utilities, I don't understand RUS too much because it got out of that long before my time, but I know there are some discussions around RUS debt forgiveness at the federal level. Talk about that, which I know gets like Golden Valley pretty excited.
Yeah.
Maybe you need Home Electric.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were the two that said that.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
There's recently the USDA PACE loan program where you can put in the loan program that, and it's part of your application letter, so you say, as an ICT. This would be the PPA price, the power price, without the loan, like a traditional loan that I could get versus getting the loan through USDA that had the loan forgiveness portion, and you just show, they justify that, you know, you're making a mistake in the public that money. And so that could be, It wouldn't necessarily, it's almost more of, it would more be like a direct pay incentive to a project, but you only get it if you, you almost have to like pre-apply before the project goes to the RCA and say, here's what my rate is, if I get this, and this is it, and if the project's successful, the state gives that to you and holders for free under the contract.
Yeah.
But it's a little like, but you're having to trust that both their numbers are real.
And that's the issue.
That's the issue.
It's for specific basis, it makes sense if it's like due debt, debt forgiveness. If it's going back into a pool, it's essentially like a mortgage with no prepayment option.
It doesn't even have to be one agreed upon vehicle. It could be utilities too. Does that create too much inequity? I mean, is it offering utility service for one? Is it?
Another type of regulatory analysis to be done. Yeah. I mean, you could apply it to any regulatory asset and use that model, and that should be reflected in rates. But, you know, I'd like it to be a more direct link to the power generation.
What if it was money, just cash money, that the utilities got to offset their fuel costs.
Oh, that's a fixed cost.
Well, I think the high level, you know, I agree with that, Jen, but I was trying to think of it in terms of how does it flow directly through the member?
Yeah.
That's part of rates, isn't it?
That's part of rates. Yeah. So fuel cost is part of that, but even if it were, I think as long as it flows back through the member. Because otherwise, for utility is like that. So if I got to hang on to that, I mean, I'd be having to update my tier calculation.
For that, yeah.
Yeah, it would be throwing us way off. Because we may all of a sudden get this lump sum that's going to put you down in commission. I mean, just funding some of it. It's going to trigger a rate.
So fuel costs need to work. Well, why don't we just assess them? Like, you get a certain, like, amount off your filed fuel costs.
One of the, it's like the opposite of, do you know how the 2-dash bill, the item of the line item for fire, iron, and wind?
Mm-hmm.
If you had diversification incentive and it was a negative number, that was a deduction on
your diversification deposit. Yeah. I like that, actually.
Then the members would see that they're, because the utility did this, the rates are going down. That's where you get it through.
Hope flows right through. I mean, you certainly wouldn't want it to go to the fuel. You know, it's not something I'm going to use to pay my fuel supplier. I think that gets a little kinky.
if I'm just transferring state dollars to the Hillcorp or something. But we'd want to flow it through probably the COPA calculation.
Does that, if this is a nice question, does that affect the utilities of avoided CASA when they're looking at future renewable add-ons to the system? Or could it just be a an adjustment that doesn't affect? You see where I'm going there?
You want to qualify it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you would artificially depress.
Exactly.
And it would have an opposite effect.
Exactly.
I mean, we're in the statutes and regs area. One of the things I got from actually Matt Clarkson was this issue that we face right now where I might know what future fuel costs are, but I can't go down to the commission and enter into a contract. Let's say Jen has an option for something less than those. But technically, it wouldn't be approved until we got to see what those new fuel costs were. But wait a second. You know, I only have a few years. I need to be able to move now. So we want the ability to be able to obtain approval for power purchase agreements based on a future as yet to be determined higher avoided cost.
Right, which is sort of separate from this.
It is, but it's just a point of how it would trigger your point. It would create a dampening effect.
So maybe we shouldn't call it a fuel cost. Maybe we should call it something else so that it doesn't. I mean, I think we're getting a little bit into the weeds.
We are.
But.
It just needs to be a fund that goes to reduce rates.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like a dollar per percent diversification for the utilities.
Yeah, and you don't want it to affect your base rates or because you could, that could trigger a rate.
Right, yeah. But
you don't want to affect your.
Right, but it's a line on your bill.
Yeah.
Separate from all the other components.
Anything else upon this one before we move on to another one? All right.
Outside of the fund, I heard Chris's answer, the dollars, if it actually is submitted kind of with the concepts you're talking about, are going to be significantly different. So I'm still concerned about the funding as component of that. So I'll think about that a little bit too, but that's going to be, I think, the common pushback that we get from the, from I would say the governor and from the state is how do we get.
Okay. So we did. Should we do this RCA one next about different diversification in the account?
Yeah.
Okay. Jen, I just want to clarify, you're gonna take this and edit it a bit more.
John's gonna edit the portion about the incentives for diversifying, and then I'll take a stab at and front matter addressing the renewable portfolio standard energy standard and that.
Yeah.
So
okay.
And
the two of you are going to work on it.
Perfect.
Good discussion.
Can I interject one thing as Malia is moving to the next one? The thing that our report developers, I guess, you know, the people that are going to put this into the format that, you know, hopefully we will use, you know, that I showed you at the beginning. They have asked a kind of a pencils down by midday on Thursday of this week. So if there's any updates that you want to do to these action sheets, we'd like to try to have those, you know, all completed by midday on Thursday.
There's an objection to that.
Yeah, that won't happen. But I'll get it to you as soon as I can.
That's fine, John. No, you know, we're gonna put everything we have into the draft, knowing that it's a draft, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to make John look good, I'm at the airport tonight and not back till very early next Monday morning.
You're going to make me look good.
That's why I said that. I do totally schedule. Yeah. Well, I'm trying. But that's my goal. I'll coach your...
The,
good cup, bad cup.
Mark, I mean, so...
In real life.
I mean, give us the timeline again, I guess, just so we can... I would like to know, like, when information is going out to the public, because we certainly want to get our edits in before then.
So, we're going to take the information that you have provided us and put it into the formatted report by next Tuesday, the 3rd of October. So in order to be able to do all that and do it well, I guess, our team that's doing that editing will have asked that, you know, whatever the task force would like published, that they provide that by midday on Thursday, the 28th.
And when does the report go for public comment?
Well, we can confirm that with Curtis, but I believe the intent is to actually publish the report on the 3rd of October, the draft.
We have at least 1 week to look it over once we see how it all fits together.
Well, maybe that is the intent, Ben, now that you bring that up, Aaron. I think, you know, we will produce the draft. It will go to the committee of the task force first. I apologize. It will go to the task force first. I have to tell you what. I think this is the best way to do it.
Who wants to remember a date like under 17?
That's exactly what I'm remembering.
So maybe we have 2 weeks to
right.
Get maybe we can comment in a week update. Okay.
So, Ron, I apologize. Yeah, the we'll publish it, you know, we'll put a draft report together by next Tuesday. You will have the week from the 3rd until the 10th to review and make any edits, inputs to that draft report. And then it'll be, put out for public comment on the 10th.
So there's no further meeting after the 3rd.
We might need this subcommittee, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect, you know, that will probably be the case for all the subcommittees. Once they've seen, you know, what has been generated in the report, then you all probably want to get together and make inputs and edits to that draft.
Okay. So the draft comes out the 3rd, all of our comments are due back the 10th, so we need to meet 4th, 5th, or 6th or 20th to get all of our comments. So you guys want to pick a date right now while on the topic?
Yes.
How many committee members are we listening to?
Just Carmel and Curtis.
Okay.
Do you want to wait till Curtis comes back?
Let's do that. I want to get as many as possible.
Okay, we'll pick that up when Grace comes back.
I'm surprised. I guess it was the meeting on the 17th that was canceled, right? I'm trying to find some old emails.
If you like, I can share my screen again. I've got the current, the calendar that was published or that was shown last week.
Useful.
So it looks like we have a meeting already scheduled on the 3rd.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Is that the big task force?
But there's a breakout session right here.
Okay. So that would be like the same day that the report comes out.
So, yeah, so there's 2 dates that are flipped, but if you look in the next 2 weeks, we'll have the initial report drafted. I think Curtis has an intent to hear from the public, you know, just based on what they've seen or heard in the various task force meetings, not from anything that's been published, but just from what they've heard in the, you know, task force meetings, just to hear public comment. Then there'll be another, the 10th will be the week that the draft will be released for public comment, and then the 24th, you see here, any public comment we receive on the draft report will be incorporated into that report. There isn't a meeting, but that's just a date in there. And then the next task force meeting will be the 31st.
But that's a vote. There's no other, I see they're out of order there. The 24th is listed.
Right.
There's not much time for us to provide comments and then have those picked up before it goes to public comment.
This might also be a conversation with Curtis and he
just Okay, that's about what that process is.
Yeah, the co-chair of the overall committee, I feel like you need his authority to to lobby the chair that we need that.
It would be useful to put October 24th above October 31st.
Yeah, we'll do that for the next meeting for sure. Okay. This is left over from the last meeting.
Well, maybe that can all be discussed on the 3rd to the whole process committee.
Yeah, let's take three steps in the
next. Okay, cool. All right, so let's switch over to the RCA white paper and start talking through that. Just to keep it moving. Thank you.
So just high level walk through this one since it's one of the ones I submitted. So when you look at the definition of the powers of the RCA, it's basically to represent the commission and ensure that the interest and welfare of the state in all matters of proceedings involving utility are upheld. And so when you look at the definition of, well, how do they know what the interest and welfare of the state is? They look to existing statute and definition, and speaking specifically to electric service rates, and anytime I get to dabble with legislation on electric utilities, I could do that. So I dove in here and just added the word diversification. So right now it talks about promoting the conservation of resources used in the generation of electric energy. So by adding and diversification, I think that helps broaden their scope a little bit. And then there's a lot of language that is actually similar to natural gas statute, but all of this language is pulled directly from regulation and just moved into statute. So I think that would help them from a reference perspective when they see these things coming before them, they could say, oh yeah, here it is in statute.
And as you know, everything ground up by some of this process, one word can make it
difference. Yeah. And so this, you know, like I said, cut, copy, paste, and regulation, for the most part, popped in here.
And I do know where you guys.
So
regulations are not as binding as the statutes in terms of having the commission to do that. I'm just
a
curiosity
question. Where
I understand how it all works.
I've seen two things happen due to a lack of guidance, and that is a tendency to legislate from the bench, meaning the lack of direction in the statute, and you combine that with somebody who has a will to do something specific, has led us into problems. And then the other thing is expanding the scope.
Mm-hmm.
They're an adjudicatory body, and I often use the example of if you and I are in court for some reason, in opposition, I'm your next door neighbor, now you want to move, whatever it is. Can you imagine going to the judge and the judge saying, well, I don't necessarily like your attorney, I don't like your attorney, so I'm going to go and start knocking on doors and go get my own evidence. And that's just not appropriate. And we see that happening where they're bringing parties in. So guidance is, right today we don't see that problem, but a little bit of guidance can go a long way.
Yeah.
And so the subsection 2 on D is directly pulled from the gas by contrast. Especially those created, they have to consider what will happen if they're injected. So if you put it in line with sort of their promotion of conservation and diversification,
that, you know, I think all these things could possibly help, but yeah, this is something that the election utility should definitely take back and make sure they understand the implications of it. As Tony mentioned, every little word matters.
Yeah, so yeah. My assumption is also that if this comes out, if there's any traction, somebody wants to draft something, it's going to be a lot of input provided from the regulated community, the non-regulated community, right before it turns into something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something.
The most important piece to all this, in my opinion, is simply those two words in subsection C. Just ensuring that they have and diversification.
Yeah.
The rest of it,
I like this one.
Same here.
So I noticed we didn't look at timelines, and the other one you said in the next legislative session, and this one is also in the next legislative session. I love that short term.
Yeah, there's no reason to be made if everyone's agreeable in the investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's pretty simple.
Okay. Any other comments? No. Is this going to the generation bucket, or does that again not matter at this point?
Point on that, this is specifically in the establishment of electric services rates used in generation of electric income. So,
that's a good point.
That is past generation.
Okay, so you have kind of two in the generation bucket.
And both the PPF and RC statutes, at least for now, are in the generation bucket.
Okay, perfect. We can do Alaska LNG next, or we can do the demand compressors. Let's do Alaska LNG.
Deliver Alaska stranded in North Slope natural gas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks.
It's one that Carl sent, is that correct? Yes,
Carl. Mm-hmm. I worry that this one is too prescriptive.
Hey, more Aaron.
Well, you know, we're trying to find, I think we said from the outset that we wanted, you know, sustainable energy supplies. And while I agree that natural gas might give us several decades of energy stability, you know, is that the kind of sustainability that we're looking for?
I do this was addressing the space heating section and not generation. So that's one of those things we decided to add to the scope based on Carl's recommendation. So and if it wasn't, then I would have the same concerns. Because I think that's the biggest risk of including something like this is the view that our opinion was this needs to be the focus for power generation for the future was clearly, if anyone's watching this, clearly not what we're focusing on there, but this was just to address two pieces, right? One, the space heating, but two, the fact of the matter that natural gas is going to be a part of power generation for the future. Now, what level and you know what percentage that is the phase what we're trying to do as diversify as possible, but the assets are there.
Maybe you just want to add a context in the sentences of saying what we just said.
I guess my fear is that, yes, I understand that this was generated from the state city context, but if this is encouraged and this does move forward, how does it hamper these other goals that we have to diversify our energy sources for power generation?
Comes in as the most cost competitive and you need to shut down all of their
So that is, are we selling all this good work that we're trying to do?
I wouldn't want to see that happen. See, that's actually I still think there's a place for some form of legislated standard that addresses the prudency of fuel supply diversification. And, you know, and then there's a, you know, the easy button would be somebody else pays $10 billion or, you know, whatever it is, and it shows up cheaper and I can lower rates. And that would be easy. I don't know that it would sense if there are truly competitive options out there. Would lower avoided costs, you know, assuming that all this is correct, projections were correct.
And I think this is where, you know, the messaging is critically important. I think one of the things that I'm the most concerned about is, you know, I think as you look at things in collaboration with each action item, for example, the way we just got to review it, right? We're proposing to change the commission's scope to include conservation and diversification.
Mm-hmm.
So along those lines, let's say a large pipeline happens and an electric utility, because they've grown, wants to now build additional natural gas power generation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The commission would have to look at that statute and say, is this in line with our diversification goals?
It's like it's the case.
And you have to make that case. So without that change to the commission statute, it more likely would be rubber stamp because it would be the cheapest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I've always thought you have to make those kinds of changes to the commission, because ultimately they're the ones that approve these types of projects. It's not the state, it's no one else, it's the commission, right? So This is critically important for space heating. And we just need to make sure that we have guardrails or a good understanding that this isn't the intent of the
group. Well, there's a couple things, though. It's, I mean, critical for space heating, but it's critical to have a backup of firm fuel supply. But again, I would view this as being, for the electrics anyway, in concert with some legislated goals around diversification. I'm a fan of penalties, not trying to retread that ground, but I do think that, I mean, to me, it's a prudency matter. We don't have a lot of regulations in the electric side compared to the lower 48. State coming out and saying, you know, we need to diversify by this date to some degree. And with some incentives, you know, with some options based on circumstances we're not aware of yet, making adjustments, always looking towards the reliability and cost to consumers. But I'm just speaking as an individual that, you know, has made Alaska their home and raised kids here, that it's the level of risk that we have with currently utilities is unheard of any in the lower 48. It's unheard of, whether it's gas or electric. So I'm fine with qualifying this as like space heating.
Well, it's not written right now with an emphasis on space heating. It's written in the context of both heat and power. So if it really is about space heating, I wonder if that needs to be tightened. Or maybe it doesn't, because I realize that gas has got many uses. My other comment is, you know, would a pipeline or a bullet line, you know, combined with something like carbon capture, you know, satisfy a diversification mandate? I'm just trying to tread very carefully here, because I think that something like this could be interpreted in any way.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Mark left us a call. I don't know if you saw it, sir. In the chat, I brought it up first.
I'll just say that based on our, you know, I went back to our discussion on last Tuesday, and then I think we identified the PTF, REF, as policy action 4.4 is what it was actually listed under. So, but I leave that to you.
Mark, you're talking about, when we sat in on the incentives and subsidies committee, we were like, oh, hey, we've got an action in the writing up that will help address the two that you guys have already identified. So I think that's just doing some cross-pollinating and sharing, but I think we're okay with
that. Okay.
So we'll keep it with us. Yes.
Apologize for interrupting there, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stretch to, for anyone to suggest that pipeline gas, notion of gas, is different or diversified. I think that's a very line. The only way I can see that is diversification, even with carbon capture. Because carbon capture doesn't really address how the power is generated, but the fuel source that allows it to just. So I think that would be a tough uphill battle for somebody to suggest that's diversified, that's type of emissions. So, but if that is a legitimate concern that's shared by the task force, you should add a definition to what diversification means. Because that could be applicable to anything.
Right, you could burn the dirtiest of fuels, and as long as you tackle the emissions, that's diversified. That's a really good point.
So
maybe it's the source fuel itself, not what you do with it after it's burned. I think that is a good point.
Yeah, so we should take, stick that aside, and perhaps look to define what diversification means.
Is there something here where we should put in context around that we think of clean energy standards and diversification, which is legislation should pass, diversification goals, and that this shouldn't affect the plant flows or AJLNG. It just seems like there's more context that is needed in this paper to clarify that that this doesn't get to override our diversification.
Under the current statute, I technically can't, I won't bring in something to commission that's higher for us than some known option that's lower, as long as they meet the same viability standards of, you have to have the balance sheet, the whole provide cover provision, all those things that have been additional longer term contracts, having something that, not to go back to the last one, but having something that indicates the desire for diversification, I think a positive thing. But the reality is, I also look at that even with the current legislation as written, and what were to comply, in 2040, I still need 2 to 3 billion cubic feet of natural gas.
I think what we could do is maybe edit the expected results. Maybe that's how we can address that. But our expected result is not just unlocking Lassen's, stranded natural gas, but also that this will be utilized for the smaller portion of power generation insurance spacing. Some of the times that kind of satisfies that.
I'm just thinking as you're talking, I feel like I need to chew on this a little bit.
Aaron, I think your point is valid, and I think we, somewhere in here, we need to set some context around if the primary driver is heat, there is some base load.
Mm-hmm.
Base load is more of the intent of integrating and diversifying other generation sources.
It could be addressed both in the value proposition, the background, talk about the fact that natural gas is still going to be needed for power generation, albeit at a smaller percentage, and then the expected results. I think there's multiple places you could put some clarifying language that would help
Eric, did you want to take a minute?
Yeah, I might talk to you about it.
Okay. Yeah, happy to do that.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, happy to collaborate.
It looks like Brian left a comment in the chat. So
oh, yeah, I saw that, too. Well, could you just add that word in? It should say, like, the core is going down, which could reduce.
Yeah.
There you go. Did we get any edits to the expected results? Did you want to do that, or did you want to wait?
We might work on that.
I think we'll take it away as an action. Aaron's going to lead that effort, and I'll support it if needed.
I'm sorry, what did you add as the additional point in the expected results, John?
Well, you could point exactly to what the expected result was, is that it would be used not just as space heating, but as a certain percentage of base load, understanding fully the requirements and will of long-term goal.
It would even say that the intent of this is not to undermine the goal.
Percent. Yeah. Yeah.
That way, at least we acknowledge it versus just us all knowing, but when the public looks like thumb down.
Yeah.
That could be, that right there could be the first sentence of the expected results.
Mm-hmm.
The intention of this is not to undermine the long role of this subcommittee of,
I also think it should be somehow woven into the action statement itself.
Yeah.
So that it's not at the end. Yeah. So, okay. I'll work on this with you too.
Cool.
Thank you. All my free time. If you saw how well I did this one, please.
And this, I mean, we will see what bucket, because they don't have any ideas on what bucket goes from generation. It does kind of generation for, heat and electricity. So, okay. In March, there's like Alaska LNG, there's Bradley, the Dixon version, and then the Pacific Montana, and those are all kind of like known potential generation projects. They kind of fall
into that. That one, or is that Curtis's?
Those are Curtis's.
Okay.
So maybe we'll wait.
We could go to my anemic.
Yeah,
we could. Again, my apologies for being... I'm almost embarrassed to put these out in front of you all.
Should we start with the increasing demand item?
Sure.
Cool.
That's the incentivized industry and anchor tenants.
Mm-hmm.
By promising lower energy rates to increase the denominator.
I think these ones are a little hard, right, to be fair.
Okay.
They're just...
I wonder if this needs to be made more broad, actually. You know, it's about increasing demand, increasing load. Through some of these vehicles rather than just incentivizing industry and anchor tenants.
So is this, I read this morning, and is this intended to be something that AEA can leverage? The challenge that I see, I think this is critical, first off, because when you look at the examples of areas like Iceland,
mm-hmm.
those places, right, this is what they did. Was, mm-hmm. But how and who is this industry negotiating with? So,
it's a RCA, actually. The approval of rates that we do.
I don't know, but if this entity wants to be in Tony's service territory,
mm-hmm.
you know, to put an industrial whatever there, mm-hmm. they're going to come to the utility
mm-hmm.
To find out what the rates are. And so, how do they promise or set a rate at a fixed level, similar to what Iceland did. So that, unless somehow somebody would then talk, well, go to AEA.
I just don't know how that would work.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah.
I mean, one example is we did have a server problem come to us a few years ago, and those are high load factors. They're running at full, you know, full problem. And their demand is high around the clock, 365. Mm. And so there's a value in that in comparison to, you know, when we all wake up and we turn on things and demand goes up, we go to work and it drops down and people get home from work, at least in my service area, then we see the secondary bump almost as big as first. So at any rate, I mean, what you touched on, John, is the rate classes of and the prohibition of cross-subsidization between rate classes. So when this server farm contacted us, what we did is we ran the numbers. And the numbers indicated a 25 to 30% decrease in current published rates, or they would be subsidizing the residential consumer. And so we're beholden at that point to enter into, I mean, because it's not our tariff, you need to enter into a special contract and still file a commission to obtain approval.
If you decrease the rate 20 to 30% for that particular client.
Yes. No, I would be almost required. I mean, if they were willing to pay, then they could hook up. Mm-hmm. But once you saw what their load factor
because
was,
using so much.
Using so much, then what's happening is they are subsidizing other rate classes.
An unfair
plus thing. Being a commercial entity, they're usually much more sophisticated and would, many of them know that coming to the table.
Right.
Not all, unfortunately. So in this case, we ran the models and we told them 25 to 30% is what it looks like, lower than our, you know, three-phase rates. And it still wasn't enough to get them here. In fact, funny thing is that they said their next stop was to go to ICE.
Oh, really?
Remember telling the governor the story, he's so frustrated, but it's, because there are a bunch of takeaways, you know, you can say, well, gosh, we came this close and you want to be 30, want lower rates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 30% doesn't give you 10 cents, but, you know, it would get you to 12, 13 cents, you know, 14 cents maybe, but lower than the national average. So there's a requirement in place that you not do that. When you're involved with a rate case, one of the things that Gravel will look at, the commission will look at is, are, you know, is your commercial class cross-subsidizing residents or still cost causing cost payer rate class unless you have a special contract.
Can you make an exception to that if it adds?
I propose that we allow that. I would abuse this following example of if there was a large load that came in that required generation and something, say, renewable could be built at a lower cost, that you dedicate all that power at the lower cost to that industrial user. Now, the other members aren't getting the benefit of it, but the other members aren't paying for it, so there's no subsidy.
Mm-hmm.
But what they are getting is the indirect benefit of additional jobs and economic growth as a result.
On system period, which brings in more renewables.
Well, yeah.
And lots of other benefits.
Right, but again, today, there's in what we're allowed to do with making rates and getting approval of the rates, there's no value in there for diversification at all. It's all basically an economic equation.
Yeah.
So going back to when that server farm approached MEA, would it have been feasible for you to have thought about building some renewable energy project that was within you know, not as big as their load.
Not in their timeline.
Not in their timeline. No. Right. That's the problem.
Yeah. And I really didn't need additional generation
right.
from where it was at. I didn't need additional transmission because of where it was at.
Well, could other renewables on the system somehow be
budgeted
towards that customer? What is that?
Well, that's what I tried to chase down with council, because one of the things they would have taken in this particular case is before they said we're going to ISO, they said, okay, you know, 30% off. Is there a way you can dedicate your renewable generator? Now, you know, ultimately what they were asking was, can we get all of your 5-cent Bradley power?
Mm-hmm.
And then I ended up thinking, okay, I got 70,000 meters that are going to be ripped if I, you know, raise their rate, because then now I get into that cross-subsidy classification. But it opens your mind to different ways of thinking, and utilities are so, they love precedent, and it's the rate making has been around for decades, 100 years, and it really hasn't changed much. It's frustrating for somebody like me. So we looked at a bunch of different ways. We technically could not dedicate something lower to them. Maybe there's tax abatement or with another partnership to arrange something.
What if the diversification credits that a utility gets, independent of those growth possibilities, could be applied to a rate for a large industrial customer?
Than that customer that is more than yeah, I know. I mean, I guess on these special contracts that get negotiated with the, you know, like the airport, I think they have this special, I guess. You know, how does that, so the, I mean, that's the mechanism where you can say, you know, given the equation, you know, that they have this higher load and that's helping spread out overhead costs, and do they get like a discounted rate, or how does that?
To make the case, it depends on the makeup of the commission and how, who's there and how rigid they are.
Mm-hmm.
I think today's commission would be a little more open to those things, but statute hasn't changed other than the looking at the recovery, I guess, applying
and the, you know, the point is that it did reduce rates by 25-30%. But still wasn't enough to get that industry.
Oh, it wasn't low enough.
It wasn't low enough for them to actually say, yep, okay, let's do it. So there needs to be something additional that helps from a, whether it's rates, taxes, some incentive to get them here.
I mean, they were looking for like 5-6 cents.
Yeah.
This is what they were looking for. But it's now that. You know, there are others that I hear talk about, well, the reason we don't have nice things is energy costs too high, otherwise Microsoft, Google, Amazon will all, you know, all be here. I don't necessarily buy that, you know, that some of those businesses won't be here, but I have seen examples of significant load coming along with it. We're just too high. They are attracted to the regime.
If they had, if they're structured as a corporation and they're paying state income tax, could be some kind of, like a new company that comes, a new industry.
Right.
Could we, say, okay, we realize that as the state, but within the, utility co-op area, the members in that area are going to benefit by, you guys are helping share the overhead costs, so their prices are going down. Can the state
kick
in some kind of tax credit for the
a lot of these things. Right, so that's a great idea.
A lot of these today, there are other examples like this. We work with Ada on, you know, trying to get them partnered up with some of those needs for the local community group, working with Lucilla on their airport. Getting power out there, partnering so that they can get grants to extend it. The reason to do that is because whether you're investor-owned or a cooperative, cooperative is not going to spend capital on something that isn't going to benefit the members who are paying for that capital. And the restaurant isn't going to do it if there's no business at the other end, because it just adds to your carrying costs and the rates go up for those. That's a benefit.
But I like Jim's suggestion, like a tax credit that makes up the difference.
Yeah, I agree.
The exemptions will probably be pretty large, so you're not talking about, I think it's a great idea, but there are a lot of businesses that start up in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So who qualifies for that type of exemption?
Yeah.
We're looking at it solely through the lens of those, because we can't get our electric rate low enough, but what is that, what is the quantity of consumption that deserves the benefit of the tax? So we have to put some serious thought, and it's starting to have to run some modeling. It's different everywhere in the state, so we have to look at what should have gone.
It has to be something where it's like, here, you know, how much were they going to grow your loans by?
Megawatt or two. More like 5-6. You know, it was pretty good.
On a percentage basis, how much would that be?
For a year or a day, daily basis, that could be as high as at least a few percentage points.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it would be some
questions. Like 7 years ago, some stretch.
When they brought in the loan sponsor, it quadrupled there.
Right.
It quadrupled. So like you get the preferred rate and the all the things. You can't just be a typical business that needs to be a high energy use business. That's what we're trying to get compensated to spread that overhead cost out.
Yeah, the other thing I'd say is I would hate to go through the effort of actually doing something like that pass without having an energy in mind.
Yeah, right.
So
there's another approach. If we could figure out how much load it would take get us down to 15 cents or 10 cents. Why doesn't state or whatever the appropriate entity is put out an RFP, right? We want 2 gigawatts of industry and we will guarantee you
this price.
This price. So maybe a bunch of data servers would all get together and come up.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, and we would run it. Run the numbers to figure out.
Something that I read when I was reading this is just like, it feels to me there's some sort of like proactive outreach that we're going for. That's what Iceland did, is they went after industry. And it, you know, maybe this, I like that idea of an RFP of like, okay, if you bring in this many gigawatts, gigawatt hours of demand, and you can get it for this price.
Right.
And then you say, when you, like, what's your timeline? Because then at that scale, then they could build those factories overnight. And so while they're building factories, we're building generation, or, you know, you figure it out. But
right.
You need some kind of outreach to draw them in.
Right.
So there needs to be a state. I would say in this case, would have to be able to guarantee the payment of cost overruns, because, you know, again, if Tony's building a dam for this customer or some sort of power generation for this customer, which would require an estimate of what I'm talking about, that has to
customer.
Right. Yeah, they're guaranteeing the rates. There needs to be somebody that's willing to pay, because you can't have that go down to the customer.
Well, let's take it out of the hospitalization fund, because that's all about lowering your rate, right? If you're going to lower rail that way, that's going to lower rural rates, so ensuring that we don't have a cost of loans to be part of making sure we lower rural rates as well. And we know we've got some extra that in those PPE funds. I know nobody wants to open that can of box at 10 more, but as a potential funding source.
Another option is like how those 50 gifts still need generation projects, but then how those get contracted. You can have all some contract
the you know, times you're kind of sanctioning these projects, you need to have your engineering procurement construction contract for that generation. Have that go at the same time, and then the EC carries the risk of the cost of the program.
Yeah. I mean, the state is going to have to subsidize at some level for, to get us cheaper energy, period. So, you know, I love the fact that incentivizing business to come up with that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That should be a policy that we're recommending in our state subsidies with.
Agree. Just to kind of build on it, I think about these kinds of things that come up a lot in terms of this, whether it's Fort McKenzie or if there are large industries that pop up a couple times a year and they kind of poke around, some led by the state, some just kind of cold call. That happens. It really depends on the location and what's there. Like, Secret Server Farm I'm thinking about was very close to power plant, transmission was right there. Mm-hmm. But that very same, and so I need to know no new generation or transmission for that particular facility. I ran the number quick. It was like a 0.2% increase in the overall load of 5 megawatts. But you put that out at the end of some feeder, you know, Glacier View. You put it out in at Fort McKenzie, and that I'm with you to put some generation out there because it's just too far. I couldn't be any frequency without additional things. So if there any that's why I come back to the need for eliminating transmission constraints. And then like real economic development quotes that I've been associated with Rule 48, you would look at where on the system is optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And you would market that as a whole, indifferent to what utility area service is.
Maybe that's part of putting an RFP
identify areas. Piece of the place yet that are optimum.
Identify areas on the mail that are optimal for first load growth.
Or I think you need to be just open, or you have to address the fact that if they want to pick a location, like Fort McKenzie, let's just say that was it because it was more than, let's not go through the pros and cons of that. But let's say that's what it is. Well, now there's a different part of it. So, you know, if you're going to build out transmission and you want that too, you're going to figure out a way to close that gap for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think we're really agree.
Yeah, I do. Right.
Identifying areas that already have some ways to be in history.
That's right.
Yeah. We might as well give it a try. Okay. Yeah. It'd be curious to know if Lorraine Woolman. I mean, a long time ago for Iceland, but what did they do? It was handy. I actually texted her and asked her about that. But I just, as I reworked this one,
yeah,
I might pick her brain a little bit about that. But
yeah, that would be cool, right?
Yeah. Like with identification, sorry, Tony. But I also think there's, you know, having the state offset large load customers with a tax credit, but if you can't get quite down to
who would attract them,
yeah, it might be another.
Well, you can think about it this way, again, if you get rid of those constraints on the system, that facilitates economic dispatch from one end of the railroad to the other, and it also allows you to put in place a postage stamp rate, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Because the opportunity for the state, if they want to pay down debt on something, I mean, eliminate the cost of wheeling, other than operation and maintenance on an annual basis. Now, you bring in a large commercial load, it doesn't have to be in my service area.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to carry additional transmission costs, and our members are going to pay less on per kilowatt hour basis. That's just it. So everyone, there's a winner all the way around.
Well, that's not
the
secret.
It's not like it's linked.
They're all linked. Do you want to do the other demand one, or should we move over to the transition topic?
Since this
this is volume. The other one is, rate design, I think more of like time of use and sort of smaller incentives. I guess in some of these questions, do you have more ideas that could fit under this load growth one? Or I think this is, or this all been on my list, but anyway, it'll be something much better. But I appreciate everyone's input, because that was
a tricky one.
Not a good excuse for what I presented, but.
Some of these we kind of needed at brainstorm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's knock out this rate design one while we're on it.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're going to update that, Erin?
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
So for the innovative rate design, a few sound bites here for background that we worked into some narratives. But I think that one thing that I recall that was suggested last time was to allow the RPA more expediency in kind of using innovative rate approvals. Or at least I think that's what I remember. And I would love to flesh that out a little bit with input from people who understand the RCA process better than I do. I remember the first order 2222 being brought up last time, so I'm not sure that's relevant here, but I threw it in there as a placeholder. Anyhow. And that, this is also very skeletal.
What's concerned here is that people adopt electric vehicles and other heat pumps or other things.
Or the load, period.
Yeah, and we need to adjust our rate structure. Really get concerned about, these changes happening so fast for people to keep up with restructuring rates that we don't have unintended
consequences. Right, like it's happening in other parts of the country. So I think that the idea is to shift when we're using power to enhance reliability. So, using it at night instead of during the day, or off-peak times, essentially. So I would be interested to hear from Tony, can the RCA play a rule here, play a role here, in terms of...
CSS in their current filing on this rehab, NEA is... it's in the queue, approval process queue to file likely by the end of the year.
But are there certain...
It is a regulatory, an expedited regulatory approval process that still protects the consumer across subsidies. It's simple math. You just have to go in there and show simple math that this is the off-peak period. It's not really the period. And it levels out. It helps with the fuel supply contract, it helps with the overall system. You mentioned Glenn, though, and I've had early discussions with his set about, and something that we agreed to do, but recognized the need to analyze just the distribution system in terms of its capacity to take on, electric vehicles. I mentioned before, in stock showing 15% now that I've got problems with transformers and things. Right today, it's not an issue, but it's no excuse for not being prepared. So we plan. One thing that buys us time and saves consumer money is shifting the load.
Right.
And an incentive to do so.
But in terms of filing those kinds of usually, are there hurdles within that process?
Is that just the be- process is what?
So do we need a new process?
I think that was in one of the recommendations was in terms of the RCA being able to more quickly adjudicate some of these things at a lower level. And things like the Iowa model or Virginia model, those were referenced in there. I'm familiar with them. It's three commissioners. But you've got highly qualified ALJs and staff that are moving these things too quickly, and the commission only comes in to split ties. It would be such an overhaul. But my concern, Erin, is that would take longer than, get that performed to step through changes and reg changes than
than the common sense time of use filings that are likely to get reviewed and approved pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. So do we have issues here to solve?
Well, we could make it easier and put something, for example, in regs that would ease the approval, so it's kind of like a rubber stamp type scenario.
I think a recommendation to do that where it makes sense is necessary.
So is that like adding another word besides business certification?
It wouldn't be there. It would be in a different part of regulations.
Bundle? That's the word?
It might not be one word. yeah. I don't know as much about the utility rates and the teaching that that happened, but the process exists today is whether or not the numbers support what you're going for in the mission.
Let me just put something out there just as a favorite cow. You know, there's kind of about every 20 years, 25 years, the AMFLOs and RCA, and we're about the 25-year mark, historically, from blowing it up. But one thing to look at too is you also have a unique time you should have of the five commissioners. Four of them have all said do not want to be reappointed. The only one that hasn't voiced is the newest, Jonathan Ola. But all of them is because they're aging out. They're in their 60s, their 70s, and they're like, when our term's up, we're done. So if there's a time to look at doing some revisions to the RCA, we are not going to have objections from commissioners per se, because they think they're going to lose their job or want to continue on and don't like the new realm. It's something to throw out there that, you know, Janet Wilson's not getting reappointed this year. It's going to be somebody new, and then the following year, somebody new. You know, it's just going to be coming up.
But this might be the time to do it.
It might be the time to do it, because you won't have any, you might have commissioners that see how to do it and do it better. And at the same time, you don't have them wanting their job, keep their jobs. It's because, like I said, four of them don't plan on asking to be reappointed, no matter who the governor is. They just said, you know, Keith Kerber, he said, I'll be 68. He said, I will be done. And he says he's the second youngest on the commission.
So maybe it should be a consideration that this is an opportune time to do something and to follow an Iowa or a Virginia model. But it also sounds like you need to increase the staff resources.
Right,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Where did that money come from? Well, RCA, it comes from the regulator.
Yeah.
They're not technically...
It comes from
that. The regulator. It's a line item. It's a line item on the bill. I was very simply... I still get to point of order, but I still haven't received my cookie yet. So...
That's fine. The cookies are over here. Well, I would tell you, we ordered lunch on Friday, and that pack had cookies, and so we found them in the refrigerator going, well, the cookies are going to make it tomorrow. So good over here again. And it's
dangerous. Maybe a cookie down there.
Yeah, you want a cookie?
Oh, I'm good. I think I saw
There's no cookie in those
boxes.
Oh, okay.
They did not bring cookies today.
Okay, so is this worth the time to re-envision RCA? Do we want something like an Iowa or Virginia model? Or do we want something different?
I think we leave that up to the regulations committee that's already got that.
So maybe
Are you talking about the statutes regulations? That's Carl and Carl and Robert Venables.
Oh, okay.
And they already have a recommendation to as one of their action items if you wanted to read it real quick.
Yeah.
I think they're talking about rewording this, but restructure the RSCA with three commissioners and administrative law judges to streamline handle rate cases. That was kind of their original, but I'm pretty sure they are considering rewording it, but it basically aligns with legislation that would be similar to the House File 577. So that's the direction they're heading with that one.
Well, what if you were to ask this one? Going back to the diversification goals,
mm-hmm.
I think that maybe a statement can be added there that, you know, diversification can be enhanced when we do have energy trades because it helps spread, you know, resource use over. Almost as just as a supporting statement, so maybe it's not even needed.
I think you want is, my perspective is very broad, is innovative and expedited rate of.
Okay.
And it's that, you know, that maybe, you know, tag on to the end of that, it, you know, in alignment with whatever state energy goals there are. So if there is a CPS, you're not, by default today, if an RPS came out today, it would take 2 years, probably, typical process, 2 years, the commission would have to go through its ranks before it could even tell us as utilities what to happen. So, what is that, 3 years from now would be the soonest that you could see anything come through there? That's too late. I don't have 3 years. 3 years. I mean, Homework has 6 months.
Is this something that you just said that one liner?
Yeah.
Can we just send that over to the statutes and trade?
I think so.
Subcommittee?
I think we should.
If you're going to reform the commission, and you want it to be high functioning, let's put some meat on the high function, which is innovative trade designs, favorable.
Efficient.
Exactly. No.
Mm-hmm. So maybe I wonder if the action item should be reworded to say, innovative and expedited rate approval.
Okay.
Because expedited is not in there. I think expedited is innovative and expedited rate, not design, but approval.
Okay.
To help manage demand. And let's send that over to Charles and Rob's committee and say, ask them to please incorporate that and they can get in touch with us if they want to. And then we'll take that off our plate. Sounds good.
Yeah.
So, just to clarify again, innovative and expedited rate.
Approval. Yep.
Approval.
To help manage demand.
Very good. And then you want to suggest that be sent to statutes.
Yeah. Maybe to take out to help manage demand, because it's about generation.
That should apply to both gas and electric. For home heating as well.
So, do other people support taking out to help manage demand?
Well, to me, it's that and all the other things. So I would.
So just take it out.
Yeah.
Okay. Approval, and is that for electric and heating? Or should we just leave it there?
I defer to John. I just have some background in. You know, innovative rate design was we suffer from the same limitations, maybe not the same priorities.
For heat and electricity rates?
Yeah, for heat and electricity. Rate approval for heat and electricity instead of take out to help manage demand and replace this for heat and electricity.
Go ahead and edit it, but I'll think about it then.
Oh.
So are you still considering keeping this as one of yours, or just, you know, throwing it over the transom to statutes?
I want to get it off my plate, but John wants to think about it.
Just okay. The piece as far as whether or not that's good intention.
Okay, I got it.
Well, no, I mean, just so think about it. The reason why we're trying to do that is because we want to incentivize people
to power their vehicles at certain times. Well, the high demand time for us is because everybody comes home. So I can't really set them to keep their home in a different. I don't know. I just need to think about it.
I think with them, it's electrification. It's just not, climate use is just one
short-term
example.
Sure.
And electric vehicles is just one component of that.
Right.
I think it's going to be significantly more.
Yep.
John, do you guys have to still pack the line sometimes in my vehicle? So if they were to, I'm saying, utility swap to encourage more use at night, that's going to have an adverse effect with you guys, potentially, if you're trying to pack at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just curious.
It's, I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
No, I understand. I was just.
And we're just saying have an innovative and expedited process.
Yeah.
And so really, we're not saying we want a more efficient type of
right. Not necessarily the end goal is, but be faster and that's creative.
Mm-hmm.
To come up with better solutions that we can use.
So should we put process in there after approval?
Yes, process. Thank you. Great. All right. So we want to think about this. You're gonna pass it over.
Let's just pass it over as it is and get somebody else.
All right. Okay. So what we have is the transmission upgrade to Citroen Montana, fix and diversion. Let's just.
You know what tomorrow is
going. You're speaking them for you. Do you want to talk about the timeline?
Yeah.
Yeah. Curious what it gets up for the thing you're here.
You got to do.
I know, but it's like, you know, about the cookie, right? Let's see, Mark, can you show the timeline again?
Yes.
Chris, we're concerned about the draft report is getting, you know, the Michael Baker needs to write that by October 3rd, and we were hoping as a subcommittee that we could review our section before it goes for public comment.
Right.
And it doesn't really look like there's much time for us to get comments before it goes out for public. Because it gets issued on the 3rd and goes out for public comment at 10. So what if we have one more week in there?
You need one more week in there. Okay.
And so we would have to get our comments back to Michael Baker by the 10th. And by 17th, it could go out.
Of October?
Yeah.
Remember, the 17th meeting was canceled.
Right, because everybody was gone. We had AFN in there, and then Clay and I were both out of state, and I think the Lieutenant Governor was out of state. So,
we just wanted a chance to, because given where some of our actions, you know, we're going to be doing some edits to them.
Right.
And we may not get in by the time Michael Baker.
Well, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. If we go out to public comment, but we're still doing edits on our stuff, is because public comment very well could drive edits too, potentially. And I really, we don't know what we're planning, we don't know what to expect. So I'm wondering if it's okay that we're still doing edits, because if we have two different public, if we have the public comments that we're going to do, people are going to be written public comments.
Mm-hmm.
But then we'll have two meetings where people can call in and give us their comments. And so that's what I'm saying. If we're still editing and there's, and we might, like I said, we might change stuff based on comments.
That's a good point.
So
the one that, for example, we were talking about the Alaska LNG one, and we wanted to put in some additional context around that to say that that should not meant to supersede or override our diversification.
Right.
And we just wanted that intent to be clear.
Right.
And I guess anybody's thought us to get that new language in there before the report is issued. We would just take for the public to like think that we're, I don't know, to misinterpret our intent, which I'm sure there's going to be some of that.
Yeah, I'm sure that.
Well, maybe I like your point, Curtis, but we can be editing and public can be commenting in parallel.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be a
public,
too. True, yeah.
And we can always clarify our intent as the comments come.
Yeah.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right. Maybe we just stay the course then.
Mark, does that sound good?
Yes. No, that was, at least in Mark Lucan's mind, that was my you know, kind of how I envision this happening. I guess I'll have to bounce it off the rest of our team, but I think that's really kind of the way they were expecting this to happen too.
Because even though we have public comment incorporated in draft, we have October 31st, we still have another public comment period if we need it, but we have it. And so really we're taking comments until the end of October, however
that right. That's right. Yep. That's how I saw it happening too, Curtis. Which gives, you know, gives the subcommittees an opportunity to meet as well. Sorry.
Right.
Yeah, maybe that's more
efficient in the end. Yeah. And even when they take public comment, just on the state takes public comment on regulations, when they close, those regulations could change depending on the public comments or how to craft it before it's finalized too.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Okay. Shall we go into transmission? Or maybe let's do,
Sit in Guantanamo and addiction, and you transition from addiction. Okay, sit in Guantanamo. Brian? Okay, just like I did before without Brian. We crafted this. Brian had some comments. I'm not sure what they necessarily were. So I guess we can sit on the top if he's able to rejoin us.
I think what we've been doing first is just if there's any like high level content you want to share, then we just can kind of say what our kind of macro comments are.
What I want to try to do is set the stage on the system of Montana that they need to refresh the CapEx and the power cost to be followed by the FERC license process. So rather than say we're going to green light the project or we're immediately going to get a FERC license, we have to do some preliminary work first to really determine is it still cost effective. And has any of the FERC permit process changed? So that was intended, just like I said, to kind of say there's pre-work to be done before a decision is made to move forward. As far as the background, it is just the background as far as the history of Sitka Montana and where we're at and a little bit of the project summary. Again, we use the 2014 numbers because we know we have that. And really, the one thing when looking at this, when you look at the financial modeling of it, one, don't need to redo the financial modeling. We obviously have to add in new data with new costs, but the model's already been built. A lot of this is an update, and the same thing with FERC. There has to be a conversation with FERC with our permits to find out, okay, how many are still good? Do we repeat? And so start to determine what that might look like. When they went into advance, FERC had no issues or concerns with any of the permits and said they needed outstanding work. So we have the how we get there project, a process, and it was just kind of laid out in nine steps. Nine steps might be too many, but I was just trying to be thorough. And then the implementation timeline was one that was what we've used in the past. So it could be a 20-year project from start to finish, but it was important that the operational phase is 100 years.
Yeah.
So,
cheap
power.
Hey, Curtis, this is Mark real quick. Brian is on, but apparently he's struggling with his microphone.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The only comment I had in the how we get there roadmap is there's kind of the near-term recommendation is to update the project management plan process to test based on PERC. And then it's kind of based on how all that goes, then we kind of proceed with execution. And so I wasn't sure if we were going to just show the first part of actions and then just based on the outcome of that, then we proceed, or maybe we show all the steps, but maybe we put in like a decision stage.
Well, one, two, and three is most important with number three, and then at the end of number three, it's better that point.
To kind of go no-go.
Yeah.
I think it's important to put in a decision stage rather than saying, we are going to do this.
Yeah.
I think it's important to make sure we have the right information to make the decisions, but maybe to avoid being completely mistaken.
Sorry, I'm double booked.
Yeah, can I ask you a question? So today we're 80% natural gas, according to that. If this project went and we were 80% hydro, well, 100% hydro, and that's where I'm sitting right
now. This takes us to 50% plus the 10 we have now, takes us to 60. Sorry, did I miss?
So the project is viable currently, the state's goal of 80% is global power by 2040.
Oh, that's what the current other renewables on. So this is 50% of it. Riley's 10, so now we're at 60. Mm-hmm. And so, and then when you look at the other wind and solar out there, that takes us basically to that level. Yeah, sorry.
Okay. I just want to make sure. We weren't making
commitments. This is 50.
So you were like, oh, okay, you can't do it with for gas.
Well,
so how we get there need to be modified? It looks like, I'm not sure who's got it. Regarding the decision, is that correct? 1, 2, 3, then go, no, go, sorry.
That's okay.
Well, Chris, doesn't require some, I'm thinking, legislative
actions
or fiscal nodes? And maybe
yeah.
Yeah.
Probably before even number one.
You need to have a plan to take it to them, to give them what that budget on what that process will be. Just to move over. Right. And
before you had a go, no go.
I think the go, no go decision was probably best if it was, go, no go decision for final permitting, for final FERC license or something like that. FERC license. Right. Because this isn't saying we're going to build it. This is just saying, do we have our ducks in a row to get to say that, yes, this is still a viable project to get to FERC license.
I think Brian. I think Brian's
okay, but I'm sure if you're
picking me up.
Oh,
nope. No.
He cannot hear you. So I guess with this, can we end? Can we end it after the kind of go-no-go decision for final FERC license to assess what we're trying to get to?
You get a new SES 5 to 10? I think so. I mean, the scope will, if it all makes sense, it works, the scope will happen. You don't need to invent a
house.
Everyone,
come out.
Concert with the transmission recommendations are some of the issues to
them. To me, the go-no-go decision, there's a lot of elements in that decision, but the primary ones that we need to sit and validate that it's how competitive the research is.
Exactly. Yeah. We could draw up the other points on the two of it gets too confusing. We're just saying, do this to get to another one for licensing. The other needs to happen no matter what. That's common sense.
Okay. I think when you were looking at the budget, we've recommended we delete those. Are you okay?
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Cool. All right. Okay.
To me, that's common sense. So, strange things will happen in government, but.
And then with the expected results, there was a little bit of blurring of at third, that was kind of results, but then it kind of also pulled in, so therefore it's recommended state research and licensing process. And so we would pull that out, we should just pull that out.
Yeah, because I think one thing started and I had a second thought because I said therefore be recommended and I said the state should undertake the task outlined above to successfully license the project, but it's the 1 through 3.
Okay.
So, yeah. I apparently had to change the thought.
Okay, so we can just remove the text starting out at the third sentence instead of four. And I think we've already captured it. So.
Yep.
You keep going to the end.
And the last two sentences point more opinion and back. Once the project's licensed, the state has options to complete the project. These options are not available without a license. We could probably take that out. That's probably a little bit.
Okay. Any other comments on this one?
Just want to acknowledge that on this one, receiving information, I think everybody's copying from Juneau College, the Civil Liberties Coalition, expressing concern and support. That's something we hear.
Ryan, we can hear you.
Okay, I can hear you.
We're getting feedback. Do you have your computer and your phone on?
I can shut off the computer.
Thank you.
Are there concerns in that email that need to be wrapped into this?
Well, there are concerns that will likely be brought up in the comment public comment period addressing certain studies and things. Based on the mission that, what I signed on to, literally signed, I'm here with an open mind and as it relates to all things, and there are no sacred cows. I don't think taking something like this off the list would fit with that, but I just wanted to mention it, that it, the record that it was received, and it's something that is permeating here. And we believe that our board can't make this project happen. We don't have that, that authority. They could oppose it, should it go forward. They could. They probably could not. We don't have resources to stop it other than whatever lobbying the board wanted to do. I just wanted to say that out loud and look forward to public comment. And I think that's the place to really evaluate what's been provided.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I like about this recommendation is it will show whether that's is a factor.
I agree. Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's that makes sense for us to move forward with this. So makes sense to have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we had started this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, where would we be today? We probably wouldn't be in the fix that we're in right now. So again, this is a concept and it's something that we've already spent. We spent $200 million on nothing. And so if we get it in the next phase and decide if there's a perk license and we have it, then you at least have something that you have 10 years to decide what to do with. That's a license.
Or you can put it to bed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, that project is so, again, speaking from an NDA perspective, that project is so large that the only time that's ever popped up on our radar is when we see things like an RPS with penalties that say you have to meet some near-term deadline. It's going to take me 10 years to fill 20 miles of transmission proxy. When I tack on from planning to where I'm at today, permitting and purchasing right away, it's kind of daunting. So.
If the project were to move forward, I'm assuming there's going to be a public comment process informing that decision.
Okay.
Right. I'm just saying, this isn't. This is all kind of pre-feasibility, but then the go/no-go would be informed by a public comment.
And I said this from her again, and I'm in favor of. Actions that help us say yes or no.
Mm-hmm. Make a decision.
It is just as important to cross off projects as it is to add them, because we stop wasting time on things and say, "Oh, that didn't work out, so let's see what looks like."
Yeah.
Yep. Either keep pushing forward or cross it off.
Yep.
Okay, that's a good lead into fix and diversion. Kind of another project that's on the table. And Curtis, any context or anything you'd like to set before we discuss this one?
No, other than Brian, can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I would like to say this is Brian's project. This should be called the Carry Diversion Project. And so with that, I wrote, and this was drafted up without his input. He was on vacation last week. And so I'll let me turn it over to you, Brian, if you want to kind of set it up. I think I've captured a lot of what we've done and how we've articulated it. But again, I want you to take the lead on this to see if I did capture what you would normally do.
Okay, the upper part is pretty, well, last month we actually got together with the engineers to go over costs and energy amounts, and so our conceptual report, we expect that we're going to be reducing the cost that was done in the conceptual report because it is a conservative number, and discharge data from the summer appears to bear out that the energy numbers are at the upper end of what we estimated too. So I put down raise the Bradley Lake level. Personally, I believe that it's going to be 14 feet, but it could go higher than that. We're going to, because of the storage has a great deal of value. And so we may be able to make it 15 or 16 feet. But just with 14 feet, you add in another 55,000 megawatt hours of, I'll say, battery energy storage, which is, it's not quite as fast as a battery, but it still has the ability to regulate by the utilities wise. And so, and then based on what we know so far, under what we believe in the hydrology, is believed that the increase in energy out of Bradley would be 150 to 200,000 megawatt hours a year. And realistically, if it was going to be less than 150,000, the project wouldn't go forward anyway.
And is that because it wouldn't be cost
competitive? Correct. Just if you were to go less than some number, I don't know if it's 150 or not, but it just gets a lot more spendy. And so, you know, realistically, it's going to be proceeding forward, but based on what we know so far, the number of 200 is probably a more accurate number. But we won't know yet until we know what the in-stream flow is from agencies.
For me, my comment on this one would be similar to the Sit in Montana. You know, we kind of take it up to the, you know, whether or not we're going to issue the court licensing or not, and maybe this one is under the world map. Or implementation time. I mean, this one, yeah, program that really shows those actions where it's just kind of going through, you know, just complete the study, figure out what the cost is, maybe it's on the go.
So, there's a massive difference between this one and so what were the next steps to be after engineering and environmental as far as, at what point do you start negotiating
or stories? You don't in this case. Well, it's like Brian's ready to answer. But
yeah, but I don't understand how this works.
You don't. It's the Bradley Project Management Committee would make a decision based on economics passed along the AEA's approval.
Then those contracts would be amended going forward.
Then, the cost of that power would be amended going forward. I mean, you'd be financing the thing, constructing the thing, all under AEA stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
But once it's sanctioned, then that's, remember this project is exempt from credit for commission last and credit oversight, just on a purpose.
Yeah, and with that, the BKM, like I said, the BKMC would control it at the end of the day. But the nice thing is this is an amendment to a FERC license.
Right.
And the property, I mean, as far as the land, all the land is already owned by the state of Alaska. And so there's very little Fed input as far as we're not costing Fed money. We are,
In our case, the water originates on said land, but across the border, we're good with it. So with that, this one's a little bit easier, and really once the studies are done, which we have $5 million in the total cost of Prop 12, we'll probably get to a go or no-go on it. This one can handle, this could be happening a lot quicker, and wouldn't need legislative, unless the legislature was to put funds into it to lower the cost of the project to the consumer. Other than that, there would be no input from the legislature. They don't even approve it.
So that's already part of your process. Studies, you'll have an obvious go-no-go with the
regulatory measure. Which will be the utilities. The utilities are something similar with Battle Creek. Okay. You know, we've done it once before. We had one of the utilities decide not to participate in Battle Creek, but there was a provision they could buy in later after the construction work was over, and sure enough, they bought into it. And so now all the robot utilities have access to Bradley Lake and Battle Creek, which is just a diversion to this in the Bradley Lake.
So for any contracts between AA, I guess, and utilities would consider costs to the construction so the only piece that we're looking for is the state to consume with the engineering and those things?
It would, and this would help the state be in the position of supporting those studies. The state-owned assets, so the state's paying for the studies. They pay for $7 million more to go. And we've had 11 legislators this year, up to Bradley.
The fact that there's already that, I mean, it's so much farther down the road, I wonder if we are taking any of that in this, or if that just completes this. It, because it's so different from, Montana, mm-hmm. Going back to your point about what we include
mm-hmm.
in there, I personally like, when I saw the 2032, I was like, oh, that's
so fun.
Yeah.
There are lots of aspect is what one is absolutely need for additional transmission.
Yeah.
Right. This just doesn't, I'm not sure what comes up without the additional transmission, but we're already constrained on Bradley as it is, so you have to have the
That's another piece to it.
That's the next topic.
Well, and I'm going to say this a lot in the next month. I am so concerned about somebody taking one of these and saying this is the recommendation of the task force. And so, I think those things need to be articulated and then when applying in these individual studies that this is still not higher than the transitional land upgrades.
Maybe under the 2028 to 2032 construction, maybe it's some board that's continuing on the transmission of grades are also going to be more revision things.
Because you're already spending $166 million to grab the project to upgrades. It isn't going to complete, but this is significant. High computing tool that's in the toolbox and probably the quickest way to bring on probably the approval. It's not going to solve the problem. It's going to put a dent in it, but I'll take as many dents or incremental benefits I can get to get there. Interest rates are going to play a factor. Someone who's on the committee looked at the numbers and interest rates continue to be really high. It becomes closer to being marginal. On the other hand, I suspect by the time we have to make that decision, we're going to see fuel costs that are even higher, and there's going to be more room to want to move it forward. So there's some risks are not part of this, human risks in some regard. But to me, the transmission is something that needs to be done. It's been talked about for decades.
Yeah.
Okay, given that's a good point about the timeline, not being so far out, so maybe you guys need some sharing and share all the...
You disagree.
No, I don't disagree at all.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm fine with this one.
Yeah, thank you. I think it's one of those that just has to be chased and if it works out in pencils, it'll happen. And If not, they won't.
If they said one or the other, from a funding perspective, $1,000 is, well, I mean, the dollars aren't that different, but this have a higher priority than others that we've talked about.
Price wise on it. Brian, what do you have on your list? Let me just go to you because the numbers have changed. What do you have on price on cost for Dixon Diversion?
I'm waiting for, based on our workshop, I'm waiting for the numbers back, but we're getting rid of the road, and so if you do a raise of 14 feet, I'm expecting the numbers to come back closer to 350 at this point. Before we had with the conceptual report as being 415 with a 15-foot raise, but I'm expecting that we're going to be able to drop it down to 350, maybe 370, somewhere in that area. So it'll be a maybe $75 million drop.
For a 50-year project or 100-year project.
You know, scale-wise, this is like Ford Focus compared to, of course, stock Ferrari at the top. And scale.
Yeah.
You know, but one of the things that we're not talking about, Brian picked it up in terms of storage. Looking at a run river, small 8 megawatts run river that might sue, and that's great and all, but I can get storage, I can put a dam in there, and get some storage out of it, all of a sudden value has capacity. So again, today, I might not really think about it, but because I'm considering the future of fuel supply and the value of storage with more renewables coming on, I'm already thinking about what might I value the storage of this in the future. It might be higher than what I'm thinking about today.
Okay,
people are into transmission. Okay. So before, we'll go first with this, but I did send Mark my very incomplete document during the early part of this meeting. What I would propose is that Curtis talk about transmission, and I'll pick up on a few key points because I think transmission and storage and what he has, we should consider merging it all together.
No, all that was trying to do here was, again, outline the transmission issues. You know, what we have, a couple things going on, and we've talked about, and that is, first of all, we have four owners of transmission lines. We have AEA owns out of the plant to Homer. Homer picks it up. The Sterling, Sudan area, AEA picks it up there to Quartz Creek, and then Quartz Creek, it's Chuyash into Anchorage, and then it transfers back to NEA, and then it transfers back to AEA for 170 miles, and then goes to Golden Valley all the way from Healy up to Fairbanks. And so, but the transmission line on the Kenai Peninsula was never designed for Bradley to export power. It was designed to take power to Homer, and they built the dam, and they never upgraded the transmission lines. And so one can argue, basically, you have a 90-megawatt line served by a 120-megawatt plant. And so anything with Bradley diversion, with the Dixon diversion or anything else, is going to require additional generation. One of the things that we did do, and this is kind of getting into the weeds a little bit, but when the state put money into Bradley, objective appropriations, and the utilities back under construction agreed to pay the debt, pay bonding on it. And so now 2 years ago, the bonds were paid off. And so the utilities and AEA have a decision to make, and that is do we take the $12.5 million, which is bond payments, which is now excess payments, and put it towards, to give it to the state, and hope the state's going to kick it back to energy projects in Alaska, or we had a provision called required project work. And so we went down the required project work, worked with the Department of Law to determine a lot of projects associated with Bradley, one being transmission upgrades. It wasn't originally part of the Bradley project, but definitely the power is being transmitted north by those transmission lines.
So we went down that path, and so what we were able to do was bond using the excess payments, $12.5 million for 28 years, we bonded $166 million. And that was through the BPMC, and AEA went out with the bond. And so the bond is set there. The money is literally in the bank right now. And what the utilities and AEA decided to do was 65% of the money would be used for transmission upgrades, 35% of the money would be used for BESs of the batteries in the three locations. It's not enough. It's scratching the surface for what was actually needed, but it's a step in the right direction. And actually, we've already pulled all the 69 kV line out of the AEA portion, the FFQ line, and that's the first section of line that we're looking at upgrading because it has the most line loss. And so we're in the process of doing that in partnerships with Home or Chugach because they're looking at upgrading their lines. We might as well use their folks and procurement engineers there looking at our 40 miles a segment of line. So that's what we're doing now. So this whole thing was to kind of start that process. And originally when I kind of went down this path, I was going to separate it and have the Kenai Peninsula and have Northern, but really it's all linked together because Bradley Power goes to Fairbanks. Our required project work from the Department of Law only takes us to Anchorage. So we don't use the money beyond Anchorage, or really beyond the SS2 line. But neither here nor there. This was kind of set out, and there might be more details in this, but I was trying to name all the segments and the power size of the line. But the whole goal is to take this from 115 up to 230, and there's 138 north of Fairbanks and that. And then also, we have no redundancy. We need to upgrade the line, but at the same time, you need to be redundant with that line. So it was also addressing that, but that's not the funding we initially need. We need to upgrade the line that we have. So, Brian, would I have missed anything in that explanation?
No, that sounds good to me.
That's why I keep going around.
We, as a subcommittee, would we recommend the additional funding going to this bucket to get to the finish line? And one time, I actually didn't have a recommendation around because we wanted to, a midterm goal all about the backup infrastructure and the transmission storage. We don't actually have a recommendation about enhancing storage. And so it starts, so like I said, it's not enough to fully get there. And so do we want to,
yes. You know, at some point, the discussion is how we're going to finance this. Okay, so we have money there, but it's not everything. The utilities and AEA did go and apply for what we call GRIP funding for $415 million, and it requires a match. So it could be an $800 million project. But that also does some of the redundancy that we needed. So we've applied for that funding. And the good thing, too, is from our early read, of course, we'll have to see if we get the funding, but part of that 166 could be used for federal match. So we might already have some of that federal match already there with the bonding fund. It's all about the need to do the transmission line because, again, you know, if we had a great wind resource or solar resource in the Kenai, our transmission line is all about state language.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our biggest, same thing with sand, hence the problem with the next conversion,
mm-hmm.
is we're just at capacity mm-hmm. unless we can upgrade these lines somehow. In
terms of the, that's a good segue here. Part of what I want to describe that I don't want to know about you. So you described, and you know, for some of those things, easy. I just kind of see it. The project required work is that's a defined term in the agreements that has to be confirmed by part of the law. So, for example, you couldn't take the excess payments and build a wind farm somewhere because it's not going to meet the test of wait a minute. Is this to maintain or improve and deliver Bradley Power? That's right. That's what yes. You have this limitation. And so in my mind, I think about the northern intertie, which is not part of the Bradley project, but it's a steward or owner of that. And
Energy Management Committee about it. And then you have the Bradley project with the transmission to Sterling, or that portion that is part of the Bradley project. And we're talking about upgrading that transmission up to where the ownership changes to Chigetz Electric. And then you have Wheeling across to move that power across the Chigetz system to MEA and to Golden Valley. You get our private pilot. We pay that charge, or others don't need to pay that charge. And anyway, as I think about the system north to south, and getting the sense that maybe it's a little confusing, or you've got state ownership, the Homer piece in there with capacity agreement with all the utilities that rights to, and you've got the Chigetz section that really connects in at Teelin, where MEA owns a piece, and from there, you know, there's the Northern Intertie, and then there's the Golden Valley piece. From a big picture perspective, I'm one that would propose and think about it holistically or from a macro perspective, and that's why I've struggled with the transmission and storage piece as being separate, because you have to understand the difference between project required work and state ownership of two different things versus utility ownership of two different things. And so I wonder about merging them together and adding, and I have it in front of me, and I did send it to Mark, but I could just read it to you. I have down for transmission is unified ownership of Rail Belt Transmission System, Iceland model in brackets, just a placeholder. Eliminate constraints on the system, and pay down remaining debt to eliminate wheeling charges, as the kind of purpose. There's different pieces in there. I like the idea of the, it seems to be an appetite to pay down some debt. Well, to me, this would be, or you lease, like the Iceland model, so that everybody's either left whole, or if they have debt covenants, or if it's more than 15% of their system, it trips into bylaws, so find a way, again, unify the ownership under a model. And that then, whether it be project required work or individual lease and ownership, if we're all under the state somehow, then you would have a place that you could put matching dollars and build out transmission. You could eliminate, and let's see, my value proposition states elimination of rail belt transmission constraints will facilitate economic dispatch across the rail belt. And a single postage stamp tariff could be implemented. And of course, there's an opportunity to also get rid of debt, which would greatly reduce your, that would be an immediate positive capacity to every power consumed on the rail belt. So I know it's a little bit cryptic, but it just, I can't help but feel I had to ask the question of, should we just roll up, and I feel the same way about storage. Curtis talks about storage in here. Storage I found difficult to write a separate one, because you've got utility-based storage that can be used for different things, and then you've got, you know, we've got storage that's project-required work that's meant to reduce or eliminate. DOL approved it because it will help eliminate oscillations that are damaging, right? But it's not going to be big enough for the transmission system. So as a whole, from a macro perspective, if you were to build it today, I would say, you know, you'd have kind of one operator, you know, one ownership structure, one authority that facilitates these things. If you eliminate the constraints, you can do economic dispatch. And what does that mean? To use the lowest cost generation meets the next increment of demand. And now I can bring Homer into the fold, or I can bring Golden Valley into the fold, and essentially dispatching the system like what NDA and Chigetz are doing in forming a single load balancing area. Maintain our identities, but there's going to be a period of time where Chigetz is just dispatching both of the systems. And this is time where NEA might dispatch both of the systems. So for redundancy, you need that. It's like you have a disaster recovery center. I have a backup dispatch place in case my building burns down. So that makes sense to me. Bringing in the others does. And anyway, I'll stop. I'll get off my soapbox and just pose the question of, should we try to infuse the big transmission, the single ownership model
with an upgrade?
With,
to be honest with you, that makes sense to do so.
It did to me because I'm reading a lot. When I read yours, I was like, that's it. That's it. It's just missing a little bit of a,
yeah. An example is, this is AEA owns from NEA to Healy. That segment of line that we own, there's no wheeling on it, it's O&M covered by the utilities, but it saves the Fairbanks economy $37 million a year because they can buy power cheaper in the rail belt and ship it north and produce it on their own. And that fluctuates between $35 and $40 million every year. And so if you think about that, they're doing that for 30 years, what would the Fairbanks economy look like if their electric cost was $40 million more a year? And so by doing it in this model, you're just trying to duplicate that across the whole thing. It's because we do have one particular utility who uses it in a profit center. I say profit center, but if they use it in a rate, keep rate down for other people, they use it to charge other utilities, which wasn't really that's not the goal of what we're trying to do, especially if we're trying to put more power on it and where that power comes from. And then one particular utility, because it crosses their territory, can charge a different tariff than what everybody else benefits from.
Yeah, I'd say,
Tony,
the recommendation that you talked about, I feel like that's the macro recommendation of the unification. And then, Curtis, the paper that you wrote, it's kind of these are the near-term actions that we know about under that unification model. But that's the start of really the end goal is
modernize.
Increase capacity.
Yeah, whatever.
Unify, upgrade.
Whatever that looks
like. Yeah. And there's no reason that conversation can't be started to be held.
Yeah.
Now, it's not a long term. It might take us a while to get to where we need to be, but the conversations in that moving that general direction can happen now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm fine combining them, but I think when the topic that you talk about is kind of the overarching, and then the Curtis raised here's some actions we can still take on the grid.
So that's how Tony Curtis is.
Yeah, I mean, it's the greatest form of flattery, isn't it?
So is your action to combine the rail belt 1.1, 1.2 into a single action, or do you want to keep them separate?
I think the consensus is try to combine them.
One without the other to me just didn't make, or they're inextricably linked because can't do this without that.
Could we workshop the overall action item language?
Right.
Maybe that would help us then see how it all flows. And maybe it would help Mark see a template for the merged document.
Yep.
Would reduce Tony's workload on the airplane.
If I can get word to.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that's a challenge.
I mean, it's the overall goal here. I used the word modernize earlier.
Yeah, but here's what happens, Aaron, this is in support of what you're saying, is I've seen us go through this exercise a few times and pull the best engineers in the railroad together and trying to get, from when you get down to like 5,000 foot and lower, closer, you're going to get, if there are five there, you're going to get five slightly different priorities. And I certainly don't want to insinuate that I could dictate what the priority is. For example, if $400 million, imagine, that may be enough to do a southern intertot, it may be enough to do the northern, and I promise you there are going to be different opinions on that. And I would say, well, let's let that exercise can happen. That would be a good problem to have. So I wouldn't want to be really prescriptive, because I think it's going to take a bunch of different things. If money was no object, you would just double circuit the whole thing, set aside some for a large wind or other renewables that aren't on the grid, you could extend to.
Right.
But it's gonna vary by location in terms of what you need.
So what is this gonna look like?
Yeah.
Emerging.
Well, I think what I'm proposing with better, you know, this is not the articulate version, is that we include the unification of robot transmission system. At one point when the RCA came out with its letter in 2015 around the things that the railroad needed to do that was required for institutional reform, one of the things that Dr. Scott recommended as the consultant to the RCA at the time was a transmission company. And something, it manifested itself in something that I don't believe was appropriate. Everybody can write their own history on that if they wish, but it failed. And even if you were to find, and I was not a supporter of it, but you'll find even in my one of the responses to the commission years ago is that I did believe we needed some form of transmission authority. At the time, I said more like a cooperative structure. But at the time, I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't know about IRA, IIJ, state matches, and those other things. So my position's evolved into a not-for-profit, but definitely single entity. So with Curtis's, I think it's unified there's got a couple of points that we want to lead to, I think. Unification is one of those words. Elimination of constraints, I think, facilitates economic dispatch and facilitates a single, post-stamp rate, which is something we've heard from independent power producers as a great frustration. One-stop shop, we can just go, find out what the rate is, the interconnection with a single entity, versus I have to negotiate with this utility, and they're really tariff, and I have to negotiate with that utility, and their tariff, and so on.
So I'm just trying to get down to what we're actually putting down here, and sorry to be so linear in my thinking. Are these individual steps, individual actions, individual roadmap steps towards a unifying goal? I shouldn't use the word unifying. Was it overarching goal?
In different ways to express it, the number of them are articulate in my mind. I think you want the efficiency of a unified transmission law.
You don't think the word modernize captures it?
Modernize, not in terms of the ownership piece.
Improve?
Because I think the ownership piece, one of the takeaways is, well, what is that model going to look like? And then part of the homework going forward is you have to meet with utilities to determine, okay, what debt covenants issues do you have? Are you willing to sell us a piece? Are you willing to lease us this piece? So that you can create this vision of a unified system that can be modernized under Curtis's recommendation, that can facilitate elimination of the constraints of economic distrust.
Well, just looking at that, I'm wondering rather than what we're thinking, take some of that, kind of put it into here and bring it back to the group,
mm-hmm.
and see if we could capture it.
It'd be easier to wordsmith if we had something to hand us.
Yeah, so I'm saying between what you have, if I get that versus what this is here, right, what I can do, maybe
Send it to Brian.
Send it to Brian. Send it to Brian. Because he should be on vacation. And send it to Brian just to see if we're too far off. Because the upgrades is more Brian's area. This, we can combine and bring it back to the group. And we can at least send it to Mark, and maybe even if Mark has some recommendations, or Michael Baker has something based on our conversation right now.
Okay.
And I'll send it back to Tony. Tony has a chance, you know, between the celebrations. So.
What was the step one on this one? I mean, like, the utilities and ADA form three to start to figure out how to
Rel 1.1, I didn't write this, but unify all existing transmission assets along the Railville and Bradley Lake to AEA or new not-for-profit regulated utility for net book value. I mean, that's what went out to all of us,
okay,
based on what was captured in different stresses. 1.2 was accelerate transmission upgrades from Bradley to Anchorage and Fairbanks. And again, I think we... Because these things work as systems, I've had trouble with saying, well, here's the storage goal. Here's the transmission that's not related to Bradley Lake or the Northern Intertie. And then there's that one that is related to
the it truly is one. It is truly one. Between the upgrades, the unification, unification, plus the BESs are now part of the mm-hmm. type of grid. This is only 1.5 years ago. Yeah, that's the story. It's all part of it. Plus you already have, you know, $166 million.
And I like combining them because it really ties into our midterm goal. And we think, honestly, we're starting to fall into like three buckets. We have diversification, which is one of them. There's the transmission, storage, unification, and upgrades. That's our midterm goal of like backbone infrastructure. And then we have like people who demand.
Here's the thing though, I guess we can mind. They're not going to be able to accomplish anything on the railroad without the agreement. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We just, this is a foundational piece before we do anything. So we just need to combine and bring it back to the group and just see if it makes sense in the way we express. Huh?
No.
Well, actually, you know, it captures everything.
Meets the big elephant.
Unify, upgrade, and eliminate constraints on the railroad transition system. How about that?
Sure.
So,
and I think we can then have nice things.
Yes.
The problems will take over. Because really, at the end of the day, if we're looking at present value, you know, I've looked at it roughly, you know, say we're talking $700 million among everybody, but then you put that money into the utilities to improve their other things or debt or whatever they need to, that's going to make a tremendous difference. Mm-hmm. And you might have the numbers, and if you do, please forward them to me. I remember there was a number when we looked at all the utilities, and it was actually Homer Electric that benefited the most by reduction of debt. It wasn't necessarily what you would think about QES. It was just their cost of debt was such that they would have the biggest impact on their.
It's like 50% rate decrease.
Exactly.
Whereas in my 2.9.
Exactly.
It goes over and over by electrical.
Home value is a close second. Very
yeah.
Debt. Five.
Yeah. They're both big.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are going to take this away, combine them, and bring it back together?
Yeah, Mark starts to say, sorry.
Okay.
Yes, right. So as I'm listening to you talk, and I was looking, reviewing your action items that you had listed as of last week, it sounds to me, and you can correct me if I'm, you know, implying too much, but you're going to, combine 1.1, 1.2, so I'll also bring in the storage action 2.1,
yep.
And then as I look down, potentially even bring in the generation 3.1, which is coordinate and unify operation of Railville energy generation assets for efficiency and cost savings. Does that sound
I think we're biting too much on this one.
Okay, so it's just the first three in, potentially.
Yeah, this is transmission. Well, generation is a whole other...
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm thinking, you know, in the very first meeting we talked about no sacred cows, and one of them that I think I threw it out there before somebody else did was, there's an awful lot of talk about, that I hear about people wanting the four co-ops being made sure that I create the five utilities murder or something like this. And talked over time in different settings that my fear is that you want to stretch that far, yourself up for failure for all these reasons, bylaws, et cetera. But in terms of reform, that's going to make a material difference in terms of the ability to lower costs to the consumer, start with the transmission. Utilities have already been down the road to a certain degree. They were with ATC and a for-profit model.
We're flirting on this one.
We're flirting. Personally, I'd love to see just a single generation transmission utility. But I know that different utilities have different priorities, and that if you go for a G&T, I think we're going to not get much of it. It's just too much. I mean, if anybody disagrees, let me know.
It seems like we've aligned it around the transmission story.
Yes.
Let's call
that's
it
that's a huge change.
And then big change would start there and make some signal failures in the future as well. And that's what we make, of course, is 3.1.
Yeah. So who's merging those?
I'll take a stab and put on this and bring it in here. I'll work with Brian and then we'll take the pack out. I'll send it through Mark just in case Mark might say, hey, this is not bringing us, or he might tweet it, get it out to everybody here.
And so is the plan, so Mark Baker needs everything by Thursday. Are we trying to get to ourselves internally before them?
Yeah, so I was going to review a few things once you guys are complete. I think this is the last draft that that was sent in as of today. You know, plus we have Tony's, but what I was gonna, I've written down some action items, you know, from this meeting, and what I will do, what Malia's gonna do is she's gonna save these edited versions, and then we'll send them back out to you all with kind of the actions that I've written down. Probably the biggest, you know, the biggest chunk is this combination of 1.1, 1.2, and 2.1. But as Curtis mentioned, he will take that on first, and then let Tony make some edits. The one you know, looking through these action items now that that you've all reviewed, and you guys have, you know, you all have done amazing work. You know, your dedication to this project is very evident. But the one that I didn't get a draft of was John's of RailBelt 3.1, which is the coordinate and unify operation of RailBelt Energy. So you can hear that I was trying to fix that for you, John. But
no, my guy went on vacation. No, I'm kidding. I didn't start it because I was like, wait a minute, where do I need to go down this path?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Right. So what's that timeline? So, Mark, you said that you need all of our updated papers. We're going to need to run them by Thursday. We're not going to get them all by Thursday. It sounds like it's the schedules. Aaron, I guess we just want to feed everything to Mark, and we're just going to do the best we can for our first half of drive.
I think that's the most realistic. So then we have another week to look at it after the third, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Should we need to set up another meeting for ourselves? We were waiting for Curtis to come back to do that for the end of next week, right?
Yeah.
The end of next week, okay.
Because that'll give us a chance to go over everything before then, before
Thursday,
the 10th.
Thursday or Friday looks
good. You know?
Actually, my Thursday looks good, and my Friday looks even better.
Wait, what's that? What's that?
Six.
You want to do two Fridays or six?
Six is most open for me.
Yeah.
They both open for me.
They won't be, but Wednesday is okay.
Yeah, you want to do the same thing here except for cookies?
Yeah, I was just very sure.
Yeah, I have a...
Put out fire the lady that did it. Had no cookies in the box.
Early afternoon commitment on Friday until about...
What time does it start, Aaron?
Okay. Is morning open?
I mean, actually, how long is it?
Like 9 to noon on Friday?
We can do 9. Why don't we just do 9 to 1? We'll have lunch brought in, and that time is up for 12:30. Get done early, right?
Yeah.
And then that, I'm wide open.
Is that what you
got? So I've got a pre-hearing conference with the commission on that day. So you never know how long those things are going to go.
What time does that start for you?
Yeah,
so what if we go back to the 12 to 4? One, and I understand you'll be out for an hour. So kind of like I was today, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
work. A little risky for an afternoon, but I'm sure we'll. Well, the Thursday works for me, too. The 5th works, too, so.
That does work.
Okay.
Okay, so noon to 4 on Friday?
Yeah.
The 6th?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I'll leave from probably like 12:45 to 12:45 and 1:45.
So I will, we'll send that to Jennifer.
I guess we should check. Is that good for you, Mark?
Yes, that's fine. No, that works fine. And I'm obviously committing Michael too, but I think he'll be raring to go when he gets back from his time off.
And we will have a task force that on the 3rd, too, where we'll start some of the...
Yeah.
Yes.
Structure. If there's breakout, we might be able
to... Yeah, we might be able to make progress. If we don't meet until the 6th, Mark, does that give you your team enough time to make all these changes by the 10th when everything is going out for public comment?
Yeah, friend Aja. I mean, again, we're going to create a draft on the 3rd, and I just got through sending Jennifer a draft agenda for that meeting, but I think the bulk of that meeting is going to be spent just going over each subcommittee strategy and the actions that support those strategies, just for review, and knowing that there's going to be edits.
And just FYI, I am going to have a hard time seeing them meeting.
That's
the first year's also.
Right.
But yeah, and this gives us a couple of days to look at the draft report, and then we can kind of just do more of a macro comments on how our restrictions work.
Let's just say that I think the 3rd is probably going to try to be helping some of the other subcommittees. I don't think they're not as far along as we are, I think, to be polite.
People have put in a lot of hard work on
that. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, can we talk about how, I guess, two things. One, just talk about how we want to roll up to our bigger strategies, roll up all the actions, and just like kind of get definite summaries of those topics are. And then two, Carl did type up a summary of our short, mid, and long-term goals.
Yeah.
And I had some comments on that, and so anyways, I'd like to get over, because that's kind of the front matter. Into our strategy. So maybe first let's talk about the roll-up and then we'll move into this summary.
Well, I've got that available. I can share that if you want.
First we'll talk about how we want to roll up into our executive strategies. So a proposal would be one on diversifying generation. And within that, I think the first one is the whole incentives piece. I think that's kind of a big one. And then the other is pursue already identified potential generation projects, and that would be like taking LNG, specifically in the size of 6-inch diversion. And then the third piece would be around the RCA, giving them the ability to value diversification through their success with the existing projects. But anyways, all those kind of fit in to the goal of diversifying generation.
And just the RCA, you could flat out said that we want to have something as far as staff retain, we want to make sure they're able to retain staff or to the other staff and retain it and pay a fair wage just because attractive and retain exactly. I'll use this as a case in point, it's just one of those data points out there. But the Oil and Gas Commission pays their petroleum engineers $190,000 a year, where they start over at the RCA for an engineer for $120,000. So how do you attract or retain somebody that's a $30,000 pay difference in two different regulatory agencies?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just one of those things that we maybe kind of We need more staff.
Chris, we have right now the recognition that John wrote is all around the RCA when they're looking at contracts and new integration projects that they value in diversification, but in addition to the selling for kilowatt hours. And we don't talk about the RCA structure or funding and staffing levels. Is that already addressed in the Freedom of Glory Statutes Committee, or should we add it here?
I would almost add it here, because what we're talking about is just tracking and retaining staff and paying a fair market salary.
I'm happy to start a different one. I won't have.
Okay.
I don't want to, like, this is very specific on the
generation
idea, so.
No, that's fine, I'm sorry.
So do we have six action sheets in the generation diversification? Like, everything except the transition stuff is all diversification of generations.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's our long-term goal.
Yeah, it is.
Next question, you think about, you know, transmission being found to be linked upon a tender, and then, but generation, both up front on every utility's relative radar right now is fuel supplies, you have a kind of diverse spot.
Mm-hmm.
So it lines up.
So does that work for you, and that's one big bucket? The other is around unifying transition storage, upgrading, and whatever that is another big category. And the final one is
demand, increasing demand, which is the one that I was going to work on.
I mean, it's kind of cool. You can see a lot of parallels between what we've learned from ICE and into what's in our conversation. And I feel like those people, they're just still down enough that maybe some of them could get attention. Mm-hmm. They've not seen any recommendations.
Yeah.
Are we missing anything? Okay.
In terms of, you know, like a goal to just diversify, which would be, I think about that. Is there anything there that things we capture in? Could be an RCA long transmission goal, I believe, will facilitate that.
I have to add it to the front matter of that. And if we are aligning to this big goal to diversify, you know, as a clean energy standard that commits to diversifying.
Yeah, I think it should almost help change the kind of thing. And think about being for the types of service and what funds and are. I think you want to, not that I want the government to run my business, but we are a monopoly and there is a machine that regulates. So I don't see any issue at all with that, you know, with state. Even could be in other places where there's just such common goals and you've got unintended consequences. You go with a recognition related to CBS or CRS, and I know, like, we've talked about that a lot, we have a lot of learning about diversity doing, but we know that recommendation's been coming forward from folks in the legislature. Do we want to assist?
They've asked for guidance. They said that. They said this or that. So,
does that happen?
I would. I mean, I'm willing, but it's just a little rude. I think it's
stuff, though.
Yeah.
I mean, identifying actual specific targets.
Well, you said we were going to capture that. You might not have been here.
We were going to say that we favor clean energy choices.
Yep.
One other caveat. So we favor a clean energy standard over an RPS because it gives a broad range of technologies. So it's going to be added to the diversification settings. And so then it'll also say that the group is aligned with the state should set targets, target dates and percentages for diversification.
Okay.
We are against penalties because we think it'll distract the utilities or distract, you know, against emissions, and it will drive the rates. And instead, we recommend the following.
Okay.
So it'll be the beginning of the diversification of the state.
Okay.
And then I'll change the title to something like, where it's a standard and diversification centers.
On that issue, while, you know, maybe I can work with Tony and maybe we can see, take a stab at something by Monday.
Okay.
And just, and then because we have Friday, and then if it's not the path, then we'll see where we're at.
A stab at what, that language?
The clean energy.
Are you writing like a separate paper?
Well, get some background on it. Maybe there's some sense.
Jim's got some language skinned up. I bet a high level of like kind of the concept of things that the group is all it's not like a detailed policy.
I just need to see that. I just didn't read it, so I think it's okay.
You should throw your draft out to me if you want.
Yeah.
And I think I could get that written.
Okay.
I've got a few open days tomorrow, and so I could get that written and send you a
perfect.
Nice about what this group and musician and
My reason for bringing that up is I think we know it's coming yet.
We should head it off or go with it.
We got the cab because it was on the railroad.
Yep.
And we know what's in the legislature. We know that they're looking for that. So if we can find middle ground, because I think the legislature, a couple like Ross, has asked us to.
Yeah.
You know.
Some good recommendations. So Mark, does that give you enough as far as which ones to roll up together into the strategy documents? Does that give you
I was trying to keep up, Jen. I'm sorry. Maybe it's the distance, but it sounded like you are you intend to change your strategy titles or strategy approach, if you will, so that one is going to be unified transmission and storage. Two is diversification of generation. There was another one that had to do with RCA policy that am I going down the right track here? Or is it?
Just about the one is unified transmission storage and do the upgrades. Two is diversified generation.
Okay.
And within that is the incentive one, the existing kind of known projects like Alaska LNG, Jacinto Montana, the fixing diversion, and then also diversified generation is John's RCA recommendation to allow consideration for diversification.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then the third strategy is around increasing demand.
That's the incentives.
It's the ones that you went over, we went over first, I believe, with that Aaron had put together. The PBEREF recommendation, where does that fit?
That is that's the generation diversification sentence.
Okay.
And then we're going to add, to that, we're going to talk about the standard. Wait, the REF PBF is not part of generation diversification? So REFPPF is part of generation diversification.
So you have, we originally had five, but it sounds like we have now reduced it to three strategies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. All right. So I can update. I will update the spreadsheet to reflect that, but I will also, nest these under their appropriate strategies so that when we, when I send these out, you'll be clear as to where they fit.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, because before we had generation, storage, transmission, demand, and policy. And so getting rid of storage is a separate category. Okay, we're getting ready
for policy. Yep. That's how I see it. That's how I heard it. Yep.
Okay, great.
And so everyone has their individual action items. We need to go over that.
Let's do a quick summary.
Yeah.
Just to see where we're landing.
Okay.
So first on the generation diversification incentives, I'm supposed to add the context around, the recommendation around clean energy standards. And then, John, you're going to add some additional language around the policy. Or is it?
I think he was. I'm sure
This is where instead of seeing money for a certain percentage of diversification with the effect of the CPR.
Yeah, that's you.
Okay. That's John and I, and we'll shortly, John, I know you're busy, but I'll get the part about the clean energy standard out so that you can do what we will be part of the
Okay.
Two is the Alaska LNG one. Let me see. Gary, you're going to take a stab at that and talk to me.
Yep, and then I'm also going to work on the VM one.
Yes, the low demand paper.
Yep. So I've got two take-homes there. Okay.
And then Curtis is taking lead on updating the transmission storage.
Yep.
With it integrating the unification element.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And John was going to review the rate design paper.
For gas.
Yep.
Yep.
RCA one. Wait, isn't this action
or
checking
over?
No,
it was the it was a draft that Aaron had put together on rate design.
Was that the innovative rate design? We can keep that.
Yes.
We just cut over. I want to keep working on that.
I'm just moving along to make sure that makes sense for us.
Oh, just the overarching statement.
Yeah.
If you want the antique.
Yeah. Okay, that's right.
All right. Mark, what else is doing this? Any others?
Then the only other one is if John was going to draft that other generation on unifying the generation operations, along the rail belt.
So the other piece I was going to draft was the RCA language around attraction retention.
Yep, you have that one too.
Yeah.
Oh. No, yeah, we're striking the unifying utilities.
Okay. I'll eliminate that one then.
And are we sending these directly to Mark, or should we send them to you? Okay. Maybe I'll talk internally before we. Okay. By Thursday.
Yep. My name is Emma.
The one around the clean energy standard, though, I'm just going to send direct to the friends community because I do want comments on that.
And then we have Carl.
Okay. And then that's the last action I need to be closed.
I do have a data point that I think is relevant.
Okay.
When we had one of our first meetings, Brian Hickey and me presented Triple Cloud, he put my knowledge and the call he gave me, so you all encouraged was aware, but he went and met with a policy person and a technical person from each of the four utilities to get their feedback. We were off a week on the timing phone call, and Kurt had with Brian. I had with Brian, and she was headed out hunting last week. So he is scrambling to pull that together for us to look at. It is in discussion with him. It looks very similar to the, if not identical, to the transmission authority, unification of ownership, that kind of thing. So I just wanted you to be aware, it's coming late. It's supposed to be here Thursday, this Friday this week. You're supposed to get it this week. I'm not going to commit to, we're going to, we just need to see what looks. I think it's relevant that he's got this input, and I think we should take it. See if there's something we want to amend in ours, or add to it, or we can kick it back and say, public comment period and submit it. That's another option.
Okay. Pretty good time.
So, Carl's.
Okay, yes, Malia or Mark, can you bring up Carl's? So we asked Carl to, we had our three high-level short, mid, and long-term objectives, and then we wanted to capture some of the context and discussion around those objectives as kind of a preface to recommended actions. And so Carl wrote that up, And I provided comments, they're not in this version, but
did they make it around? I just don't recall seeing, but it looks like
close to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
he sent it out this morning, Curtis.
No. My hey, I've already been in and out of this downtown a couple times, so I'm just curious where. Okay, there we are. I'm sorry. I see that.
And maybe just I'll take a minute to read it.
Yeah, and I can send some comments in later. I've got to go pick up my kiddo.
Oh, okay. And then.
I guess that's what I leave off to say that then we'll get invitations for a meeting next Friday.
Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to.
Okay, awesome.
Thank
with
you.
Cookies and all of this.
Thank you, Curtis. Sorry to be such a trouble.
No, we just had a vendor who didn't bring us, so guess what? They're off the list for a week. Welcome back, Brian. Oh, goodbye, Brian.
Don't worry, she's so hard.
Find something.
He went on a road-like trip, and then some of his roommates came out to COVID. Well, he's all right now, but he's working from home himself.
Yeah. So Carl's finding Carl's role is just a person perspective on timeline.
I think definition around a background on a short place.
To capture more of the conversation that we had in the context.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm just wondering if it's going to be incorporated into is it supposed to be incorporated into product.
I don't see idea use it as a preface or something. Just to set the stage of this is what we did. That was much more than me. I mean, we don't really have any actions that tie into the short term goal. We just have actions that tie in. I mean, we have actions that we work in the short term, but our short term goal and like the correct cost.
That it's certain supply that we don't have to use action.
Yeah.
The problem is, sometimes the direct cost of something, something big has to be decided in a very short period of time. Like, how much money are we going to invest?
Yeah.
More aspirational than
aspirational.
Yeah, it's under grid cost can be $500 million or $499 million. I care. It's just you say goes by the ability to like reduce it goes down.
I mean, and maybe what we want to say, I don't know. Maybe we think our actions are fine as is, and we don't need this preface.
The only, I mean, really, minimizing direct costs are, say, just depending on at some level, probably on the sensors. But I can't imagine that as well.
No, even if 10 years from now we look back and said that was the best decision ever, I think it's going to be too much opposition.
Yeah.
Whether it's in this place or not. If I had a crystal ball, I would be here. So
somebody's going to be wrong, it'll be easy later to look back at the point. But the bottom line is that the citizens are going to have a person. So, under a lot of power. Stuff with some of those costs and push.
Yes, I think there's value, but you want to emphasize even because we're not mid and long term goals ahead of going into our strategies, or maybe we don't need to because the long term goal is diversified integration. The other big one is unified transmission and solar vision. Build the backbone. I don't know, do we need a breakfast or
seven long term? Mm-hmm.
Or sorry, that's the short-term actions, but there's, I mean, those are things we're doing.
Yeah.
Those were, I guess, they align with what we had called them.
Yeah, I mean, I think unifying the transmission system is going to be short-term, in the next 5 years or something that can possibly happen that will help facilitate the long-term goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that path could be set, and decisions can be made now. Even with, like, construction growth, you know, adding some food, we can. I think the idea of identifying once you have unconstrained system, where are the best places to put them. So that to me is just a minimal. I could never get agencies heated in that. Together a list. Expected business and industry is the what's available and where.
Maybe we don't need this because it confuses things between long term goals and short term goals, short term actions, and so that's what we do. You know, maybe we've got it based on how all of our recognition can get up. I don't know.
Mark, that could be a question for you. Are the other groups working on any form of narrative?
Sorry, Tony, only in narrative in the sense of the larger strategy documents, I guess, that will kind of summarize what your actions are speaking to, right? So that's kind of the level of narrative that they're going into, and many of those are even fairly short. But I think that the more information you can put out to clarify what you're trying to do as a subcommittee, you know, within the task force, I think is would be useful. It will be part of the narrative at the beginning of your subcommittee section.
I guess I do like our long-term goal, the way that was stated in the community diversification, that is portable, reliable, and local. I think that statement is really capturing.
And I agree, and if you want to change any of those variables, it's just a matter of how much money you have.
So I've already started talking about the long, mid-term, short-term goals, because I like how it brings mm-hmm. the situation that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they're adopted by us or not, the good things that I believe that have something to us about. So, I would like to try to go in there someplace to be aware of where they go and how they describe. There are some things I don't like about this mm-hmm. that I definitely want to change.
All right. Well, then I think it's good context because even though we have near-term actions where we said like we want the transmission storage system, you know, as a mid-term beginning to the more diversify, that is doing those. That is a midterm goal to get into the long-term one. The main comments I had around Carl's write-up is I just, like, in the, because this is kind of front matter, I didn't really want to get into recommending, like, the last thing I was going to do here, like, pulling those specific projects up.
You have our own papers about that.
Yeah.
And that's reinforcing that maybe not, yeah.
I wanted to get more just about, what were the thought around the short, maybe long-term goals? And so I think like the whole last paragraph I would strike because it's all about Alaska Energy. And I just think that this isn't about any one project.
I also think there's a lot of questions that also should be struck. I mean, this has been stated before, what the mission of the task force was by the group that set the press release is different from what was stated. So I think anywhere we can strike the goal being 10 cents to the water or 2030, we should do that. So get that added there. Because I don't want this to be used for failure.
Nathan. And I still believe that if that's really what the state's collective will was to do that, but the amount of technology out there, I think it's probably already installed.
Yeah.
Or somebody's concealing it. We don't know, which I don't believe is true. But you could pay for it. I mean, you could buy it.
Yeah.
It's likely to be a lot more expensive than not sustainable.
If we line that out like that.
Yeah, we go. Unless unless as a result, the administration looks at this and decides that it wants to sponsor some of these combination utilities, including large clusters.
But let me ask you this, do we want to mention the test house since that was the governor's goal?
Well, that's what I just brought up.
So
you told me multiple times that
it's a long shot. Essentially, the governor actually said that the governor officially is 2033. He just said 2030. It was a 10-year goal, and he misspoke and made it a 7-year goal. And this is like,
So do we line this out right here? Can you read that?
I kind of think we leave the 10% in there. That's his goal. That's it. That was the task. And this just reiterates that we knew what the task was.
We're saying it in here in a way like, Governor, you're wrong.
Yeah, that's good. If we're leaving that in, then we need to take out that part.
You know what? That's fine. If we were to leave it out, if we were to take it out, nobody's going to know it was in there originally.
Yeah, I think it's out there.
Yeah.
It's been said publicly.
Right.
A lot of everybody's suggesting
it. Right. Yeah, I don't either.
I'm good. We'll take it out. Nobody knows it was there originally.
I guess maybe, so for context, to me it's about, the situation where it was cooking is kind of the context setting for me, and why do we want to head for solicitation? And, if you make this, I guess we need to just provide background on what the task force is, or do we just kind of head more into what our long-term, mid-term, and short-term goals are? Something around just a few, kind of threat to local fuel supply, and, the need for a better backbone.
I think, in my mind, a preface, it's kind of like just the facts, it just lays out what the landscape is today.
Mm-hmm.
Because it helps put in context and it sets you up for maybe a better understanding of the recommendations. When you start getting into some of the things that are in here, like picking a massive winner, Boswell, you're going to have AKLNG as the winner. Our recommendation might as well be, we could just pick straws or out of a hat, Sitka Lutan, AKLNG, or a large traditional nuclear generation facility. No matter what you go with, you're talking billions of dollars. And there's going to be opposition no matter what. So I don't think picking one of those is
likely to succeed because you've got decades of newspapers addressing at least two of them.
Fun, we want to open access on all the projects in the East. But not to give
it to you. I agree. If they absolutely believe that, it should all be on the table. And then again, I also believe in the next 10 years there will probably be additional things on the table that probably aren't today.
Can we just strike that second paragraph?
I was going to at least definitely strike the first sentence, but if you think that the whole paragraph should go, then we can do that. You know, straight to your short-term goals, long-term, and...
That's what the group wants to say. I just think it's tone deaf.
Yeah, I guess, for playing with you along the lines of what you were saying, is I feel like the context that you're able to express this, it's just saying, you know, it sounds like, what's the state of today? And
it's part of the, you know, it's a dual issue, it's a lack of diversification, it's a lack of infrastructure.
And then it kind of leads into our mid and long term goals. And the short term, and it is a reality, but we have to ensure supply. So, I mean,
so would you move this short term paragraph up above the long term paragraph?
Let me take this one back. I just told the story the other day, so it's
perfect.
So I guess all went well.
And I don't think I have some edits for the midterm, just to also talk about storage.
Yeah, if you talk about, we talked about affordability, reliability, resilience, but to my mind, that by default describes that you have a little capacity in the fact that it's somehow, there has to be some storage to front that up. And I don't know if I need to even say that. Sometimes when I hear my side of the industry say that, it comes off like we're leaving out this, well, that's why we don't want it.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? That's not the case.
It's just a technical fact.
It's a technical fact, and it's an economic fact. Yeah. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else before we close?
So was the conclusion that John's going to take this and...
Yeah,
edit it or okay.
Yeah. Polish it.
Got it. You bet. Okay. I will save it as is and then send you the copy, John.
Thank you.
Okay. We're marching along. This is good.
Bye. Oh, it's tonight.
Thanks, guys.
That's great work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Hi. Lee and Lauren, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
Thanks.